Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Stamps.com brings the post office and now UPS shipping right to your computer. Mail and ship anything from the convenience of your home or office. With Stamps.com, anything you can do at the post office, you can do in just a few clicks. Plus, Stamps.com saves you money with deep discounts that you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings you the service of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for any business, whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller fulfilling orders, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and 40% off priority mail and 62% off UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder why over 900,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. We use Stamps.com, and you should too. Stamps.com is terrific. There's no risk. With my promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Kirk, K-I-R-K. That's Stamps.com. Enter Kirk, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Hey, everybody, we are back. The Senate looks to be in recess, and it looks like the House is also kind of taking a little bit of a break.
Well, there's some sort of disturbance right now.
A disturbance in the force?
Yeah.
Is this the bomb threat that was talked about?
I'm not sure. We are seeing video clips that some folks have breached the Capitol's security parameters.
Which they've not support,
we completely denounce,
and we think it's reprehensible.
I'm not sure what's going on here, though.
And by the way, we have this new shirt at shoptpusa.com. Just verify it with the kind of a playoff of the Chinese company, Nike.
Let's go back and see if we can hear anything from this kerfuffle on the House floor. Representative Gosar was speaking.
And they just cut him off,
there
right?
There was some disruption that just happened. I'm trying to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, they just cut him off. Some people are saying there are bomb threats outside or people are storming the building.
Yeah, we heard reports of bomb threats in the Capitol, in the Cannon office specifically, and they were escorting people out earlier. I'm not sure what has happened with that, so we're going
to
give
you
an update.
So both chambers seem to have recessed. We're talking about possibly breaching of this, which obviously we do not support. But you know, when the left breaches the Capitol steps – and all of that, then we're going to keep doing. Sorry, I was in the left. Does it? They don't get in trouble at all. Yeah. So, Andrew, what are you looking at, and what are we seeing here?
Yeah. So these protesters have breached the U.S. Capitol. There's multiple videos that are coming.
I'm not going to use the left's words. If you're breaching the U.S. Capitol physically and violently, you're not a protester. Okay. And by the way, we don't even know if these people are conservatives or Trump supporters or what. We don't know who these people are, okay? So before anyone starts to assign political blame on this entire situation.
Yeah, I mean this – listen, if you guys are with people there, if you're in communication with folks there, tell them to stop this. You know, this is they've breached security barriers. There's been some confrontations with the security, the federal law enforcement, the surrounding the Capitol building. I don't know that that's what's affecting this interruption with Representative Gosar right now. But again, you know, this is not who we are. This is not what the conservatives do. This is often what we see on the left, and we all condemn it. We have to be consistent. We condemn this too. I understand everybody's anger. This is honestly what happens when you don't deal with objections that are fair, that are honest about the integrity of our elections. So on the one hand, I understand where people's passions are coming from. On the other hand, this is unacceptable. So you know, there's some people saying, you know, revolution in process, not a drill. You know, I don't know that I don't know what's going on
now. Whatever it is, I don't support it. And what did Donald Trump Jr. tweet?
He said, this is wrong and this is not who we are. Be peaceful and use your First Amendment rights, but don't start acting like the other side. Amen. Yes and amen. guys, get the heck out of there if you're in there. By all means, yeah, get
stop,
the heck out
stop
of there.
Acting like Antifa.
Yeah. This is what the left does.
So it looks as if the Senate and the House, they look a little bit confused, quite honestly. It just looks like the entire thing has gone. The Senate stands in recess subject to the call of the chair. What are we reading, Isabel, happening
in
real time?
We're hearing that there's some evacuations of several buildings up on Capitol Hill. I'm not sure if that includes a lockdown of the Capitol building where our members of the House and Senate currently are debating on the floor. So still to be determined on that. But it appears that a barrier outside has been torn down by protesters. Fireworks are reported to be going off outside of the Capitol building. If you're in the area, we've highly encouraged you guys to get the heck out of there. This is not a great place to be, and it's certainly not representative of what we believe in as conservatives.
Not at all. So we're going to keep on monitoring this as the House and the Senate. I don't know. I think this is directly correlated to some of the kerfuffle that's happening.
I'm assuming that the chair is called a recess directly because the Capitol building's been breached by these folks.
Yeah.
So, and frankly, I don't even associate with this. I understand, like I said, I understand the anger, and I think this is unfortunately what happens when you don't
We warned against this.
Yeah, when you don't allow the courts, when the courts don't take the case, when you've got the whole nation involved, when you've got multiple states suing other states, and they still don't take the case at the Supreme Court, a lot of this stuff could have been avoided, but regardless of that.
Well, I just pray at this point no one get seriously hurt or injured. That has to be them.
We're also hearing from our team that Vice President Pence has been evacuated from the Capitol building at this point, so it likely is correlated to a security breach there at the Capitol building.
Mm. Well, we're going to continue to monitor this and look at this. And so as things continue to come in, what triggered all of this was the counting of the Arizona election results, which was being done thoughtfully and correctly. And some people that have a different view on how to, they don't handle things correctly, resort to physical means, which is unfortunately not a thing. Andrew, what's the update?
All right, so.
And we're doing this live, and we have sources on the ground, bear with us.
Bear with us, but apparently they found bombs at the RNC headquarters. Vice President Pence has been evacuated from the Capitol building. And U.S. House and Senate sessions have ended. It's ended. Floors are being evacuated. The live streams from those spaces have been terminated. So I think it's safe to say, sum it up in a nutshell, all hell is breaking loose in D.C. today.
Which we do not support.
This is not how we behave. But nevertheless, those are the updates.
Well, and look, we don't know who these people are. It could be Antifa being disguised as somebody else. It could be people that call themselves Trump supporters but have never been given that label. It's kind of this self-professed thing. So we don't know who this is, but whoever it is, cut it out, stop it. And, you know, if you are resorting to violence and you're doing this, you should be arrested for it. It's that simple.
100%. Lock them up.
Simple. Unlike the left, we're not going to be shy in denouncing. So we do have some people on the ground that are going to call in real time. And it looks like we are monitoring this in live. What are we looking at, Isabel?
So it appears that moment of confusion that we weren't really sure what happened a few minutes ago when we had a few people gaveled out in both the House and the Senate, that was because of the protesters breaching the Capitol. Security entered the room and encouraged everyone to stay sheltered in place there in the Capitol building. To my knowledge, the only person that's been evacuated from the Capitol has been Vice President Pence. Everyone else is sort of in a shelter in place situation. But several other buildings on Capitol Hill, mostly office buildings for our senators and representatives, have been evacuated.
Yeah, this is.
We've been warning about this, though. I mean, you know, people. Again, you can say two things and hold two truths at the same time, and both can be true.
You must only have one opinion.
This is wrong. At the same time, all this anger has been bubbling up for a long time because people are not getting listened to. There's one side in this country that owns 95% of the media and the airwaves, and they don't. They haven't given any coverage to legitimate claims of voter fraud. They always preface anything that anybody ever says with debunked conspiracies, that there's no proof, no nothing. So we do have some interesting video here of what's going on at the Capitol building. Do we want to cut to this?
Let's cut live to this, but let's keep our audio going so we can talk over it. Tell me when it's on the screen. It's a lot of people.
It's on the screen. Okay.
So this looks to be a live shot of President Trump supporters that have taken to the Capitol. which is, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. That's crazy.
And so I pray this remains peaceful and that every single person there has some sort of self-control to not act like violent terroristic leftists. And look, yeah. We have been warning against this in a couple different ways. When you see the fraud, you see the irregularities, you see everything that is happening, and you see James Comey, you see all these people that go against the president, no one gets arrested, all of a sudden people lose faith in that beautiful country and they lose faith in their government. And we have been warning against this, not supporting it, right? We have. I don't support any of this, to be perfectly honest.
The National Guard is going to come in now. Muriel Bowser is getting the D.C. National Guard in place. Unclear at this moment where they are, but
can we enlarge the video, please, to the full screen or make it a little bit larger? I want to give credit. Whose feed is this? I want to give credit. Okay, I want to thank Global News for this feed. We never want to take a feed without attribution, so thank you for that. This is outside of the United States Congress, and looks like it's happening. It looks relatively peaceful right now, but it does look like Trump supporters have physically taken the plaza. Is that right?
Yeah, it looks like they're... I mean, if I had to interpret what they probably feel this is, it's the people taking their house back, their building back. Again, I can't endorse any of this. This is the furor people feel. And I've been hearing rumblings about this from some of my friends in the intelligence community. Frankly, I didn't listen. They were saying that we're hearing that people are really upset and this could boil over any time now. And I think that's we're seeing this. I will echo your point. It looks largely peaceful. Obviously, they've broken laws to this point.
And it looks, I've been told that the House might be back in session. So this young man with a lot of energy is screaming about Mike Pence. So we can now put this in the bot. Is the House not back in session? Okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead and mute this.
Yeah, we can mute this this gentleman who has a lot of spirit. Let's put it that way. So there's a lot of information coming in here in real time. So we're analyzing and processing. What did the president just tweet, Andrew?
Mike Pence, this is a quote, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution. Giving states a chance to certify a corrected set of facts, not the fraudulent or inaccurate ones, which they were asked to previously certify, USA demands the truth. And so a lot of people are saying, you're not addressing what's going on at the Capitol.
Well, we have. And so that's...
Yeah, we can only do what we can do.
That's right. And so we are now... monitoring this. You could see here that looks like about 5,000 to 6,000 people. Some people have said that they have overtaken the barricades. I can't wait for the media to call this a mostly peaceful takeover of the U.S. Congress. I say that half kiddingly because that is not going to be the way they frame it.
No.
But all kidding aside, let's make sure that everything remains very peaceful. Now, we're looking in the bottom third here. It looks as if Trump supporters are now walking through the same sort of processional that U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate members.
Listen, is this bad? It's potentially extremely bad.
Look, violence is bad. Here's why. As soon as violence occurs, then it is a physical combat situation, and nothing good happens to that situation. What makes us different as human beings is our capacity to reason, have dialogue, and to be able to use facts and not have to go to just physical armed combat. So no, I do not support that.
Yeah, no,
but it looks like people are...
There's no way we can support this, but I will say I think it looks like an Occupy kind of situation, right? Where they're taking the ground. It doesn't look like they're trying to...
And look, let me be very clear. If people are simply walking into Congress and they are staging a peaceful protest, then fine. But I do not support the trampling of barricades or the assault of police officers. Yeah. I think that's a fair take, right?
Hearing reports that the House is back in session is...
We're seeing that. Some people are saying the House is... I don't see that, though. I don't think that's correct. I think they're saying that the House is back in session because Trump supporters are back in the House. I think that's why they're saying
that. It might be. It might be. Let me see.
So far, this looks very peaceful. We're trying to be, You know, we're trying to be very specific in how we're describing this.
100%.
Right? Because
yeah,
we do. If someone starts get very violent and all this. However, we have seen Democrats during the immigration fights, during the Kavanaugh fights, and other. They have done many things like this where they peacefully go and occupy physical space.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I it's a tricky tightrope that we have to walk here, just from even just the language that we choose. So again, understanding there is a massive amount of anger out there, and I think this is the manifestation of it, and this is the proof of it. And to pay no heed to this either would be wrong. Now, is it justifying confrontations with federal law enforcement? Absolutely not. Is it justifying breaking laws? No, absolutely not. I'm just saying that, of course, this. What did they expect right. when they constantly shut us up?
Well, I think we saw a lot of this as a culmination of people's inability to not have interaction with one another last year, too.
That's right. That's good.
Right.
We saw
a lot these of lockdowns, speech. These lockdowns are a huge part of it, and you kick people off social media. And sorry, finish your point as well. It's a good point.
I just think this speaks so much to human nature in general. You know, you can't lock an entire country down or an entire state down and expect that there will be no ramifications for that decision yeah. and not expect a change in human behavior.
Insofar, this is a patriotic display. So be it. I support it. I have to say that. But if you are breaching barricades and going through prohibited areas and disobeying law enforcement, no, that is not something I support. But I will say this, that this is because the FBI did not arrest the people that staged the coup against our president. This is because of the fake impeachment. This is because of people that are able to commit crimes and do nothing.
With impunity.
And big tech is able to censor people. This is because of the election fraud.
There's
this pent up anger that ends up manifesting
itself. Because nothing
gets
done.
And we don't support that. We try to be we're trying to calm people down always.
I mean, we were actually talking last night about, we were gaming out what this next 2 years could look like, what the next 4 years could look like. And, you know, Charlie, stop me if I'm talking out of school here, but the idea of a dissolution of this country is not out of the realm of possibility. Well, and I know that sounds crazy, but what we were talking about is more of, could there be a peaceful sort of decoupling, right? That is one of the things that people have talked about. And I'm not suggesting it. I'm not advocating it. It's something that we're just playing out in sort of gaming it out in the next couple of years, 4 years, 5 years, if something doesn't change. What this is showing is that people are actually willing to get physical, at least to some level. It doesn't look violent. I mean, let's not be hyperventilating about what we see here. At the same time, it is an escalation, certainly, of what people have been willing
to
do.
We have warned against this, that if you tell people, as Senator Cruz said, to go jump in a lake and tell them they're stupid, there is not a massive bridge between shutting up an entire 74 million person body and some of those people not being able to take it anymore. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, but there's it's built into human nature not to allow an injustice to go on in front of you. It's not. And so, but this, you want to know who's responsible for this? Our leaders that have failed these people for the last 40 right. years. They've declared these stupid endless wars. They've pandered to corporate interests. They have lied to their leaders.
When you have millions of people chanting lock her up and, you know, for obvious crimes, and nothing's ever done. As a matter of fact, Peter Strzok is the one that gets to interrogate her and let her off the hook.
Yep.
When you have
entrapped Michael Flynn, and it took a pardon to get rid of it.
That's exactly right.
All of this stuff has a cascading, cumulative effect.
Yeah, and so it's like, again, conservatives shouldn't be doing this. But at the same time, if you drive any people group to their brink, if you're going to assume that there's not a certain small, and I think it's a small percentage at this point, but there's a percentage of those people that are ready for all-out physical conflict, maybe even taking this to a violent altercation level, then you would be naive to assume that there's not that part of this population. Now, are we endorsing it again? Again, no.
And let's be very specific with what we're looking at here. A lot of the media is going to say this is an armed insurrection. No.
A coup.
This is no different than the protesters that came in, the people that were doing sit-ins during the amnesty debates, the people that were doing the Kavanaugh demonstrations.
Okay, look at what happened with the BLM riots. Mm-hmm. Whole cities were burned down. Look at what happened with Chaz or Chop. They occupied entire city blocks, and they're doing it. They how many 50, 60 nights of setting the federal courthouses on fire in Portland? I mean, let's not hyperventilate about what we're seeing here. This is an escalation. Obviously, we don't want to see confrontations with federal law enforcement at our nation's capital. But at the same time,
and look, I wouldn't be surprised if these are Antifa people in MAGA hats. I'm not kidding. This is an asymmetrical psyops tactic.
If we find that out, of course we're gonna
look at their voter registration records of these people.
I also think a lot of that anger.
There's no proof of that.
I'm saying it could be. Said that.
I think a lot of this anger that we're talking about, too, isn't just a single moment of passion. Everybody saying, let's go march to the Capitol building. I think this is a very big culmination of the last 4 years. People becoming more awakened to the fact that media, social media, in many cases politicians, are actively working against the will of the people and the passions and the things that drive the will of the people behind that. And so this isn't just a spur of the moment decision to have a big splash of 15 minutes of fame on TV. A lot of this is very deeply rooted anger and frustration in the way our country has been run for the last several decades.
Look, as I'm recording this episode right now, I'm using a very important product. Listen carefully. It's called ExpressVPN. They anonymize your data. You can surf the internet freely without wondering who's getting a hold of your search history or viewing habits or what they will do with that information. Do you want the government to be reading over your shoulder every time you go online? There's never been a more important time to protect your internet activity. That's why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. When you search for something online, watch a video, or click a link, it all gets tracked by big tech companies. They match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server, and my data is encrypted for maximum protection. And besides hiding my internet activity, what I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. So stop handing over your data willingly. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more. Let's read a couple updates here. Congressman Mo Brooks has said the following. House recessed until order and safety can be reassured. Rumor, Antifa fascists and backwards MAGA hats. Time will tell what the truth is. So I'm not just throwing that out there. That's a congressman. Capitol Police announcement, Capitol breach, lockdown, do not leave the chamber is what he has said. And then he said tear gas dispersed in Capitol Rotunda. Congressman ordered to grab masks under chairs in case have to leave in haste.
Meanwhile, D.C. Mayor Bowser has declared a 6 p.m. curfew. I've seen that guy, I feel like, at some of his rallies.
And now here we have President Trump has said, tweeted, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on our side of our country. Stay peaceful, is what President Trump has said.
Good.
Which is what we said. Very good. Senator Tom Cotton has said, this violence is unacceptable and needs to be met with full force of law. God bless the Capitol Police who are keeping us safe. We have seen a couple, I think, barricades breached and a couple other things that are happening. And so, but we do look, I don't want to rush to judgment. I wouldn't put it past the tactics of Antifa to change their paraphernalia or their physical aesthetic. Here's why I say that, though, is because this is not how Trump supporters don't act in a physical way. We have no track record of this at all whatsoever. I'm talking real Trump supporters in this.
Yeah, now this forever. I hate to say it, but it pulls that argument away from us. And at least it doesn't really, but it's going to be used.
Right.
It's going to be used time and time again. So, and listen, I for one will be prepared to tell them all about the BLM and the Antifa protests that turned violent and burned down cities and city blocks. But now it's going to be a back and forth because they've got this footage, you know, to use.
So there is now tear gas in the Capitol Rotunda. The National Guard has been mobilized. I am sad to see this, to be honest with you. We are better than this. And our leaders and our rulers, unfortunately, are going to get away with it because the anger is quite honestly directed at their betrayal of their promise to the Constitution and our people. Yeah. Really, it is. This is what – look, the you can only insult and poke people in the eye for so long until they're going to burst. Mm-hmm. And once that burst happens, it you can't predict it. You don't know. We saw this. We've seen this all throughout human history, and that is why dialogue and discussion is so important. So what happens? Oh, you can't see people. You can't go to church. You have total lockdowns. Okay.
If you tweet about it, so you can all get
this
knocked up.
Yeah, that's right. So you have all this combustible energy. Then you can't tweet about it. You can't talk about it. And what's the one pressure release valve that we have? We've talked about this a lot. An election. Yeah. We have said that the pressure release valve that our founders gave us mm-hmm. was an election. Oh, I'm sorry. Your election was fraudulent, allegedly, or else they're going to take down our stream. They believe the election was fraudulent because I do want us to continue to talk to our tens of thousands of people. And as soon as you question that, then all of a sudden you're called awful names, accept the results at all costs. All of that betrayal then manifests itself. And I'm not – it's a predictable outcome.
Right.
In fact, the left wanted this.
No, they – that's exactly right. That's the point I was going to make. The left wants this violent – well, and again, I haven't seen that. There's some pushing and shoving I've seen with the Capitol Police. I haven't seen it get more violent than that, so I'm going to hold off on some of my adjectives here. But they want to see a violent reaction. They want to be
it
able to claim
the
that,
moral high ground.
That you are as deplorable as they want as they describe you as. And so, yeah, don't give them the moral high ground. Obviously, you know, I think there's a chorus of people saying it's time for this to stop, and we would join that chorus. But at the same time, you're crazy if you didn't think that this was somewhat expected.
Here is why physical violence, in my opinion, is never the answer. This is the Malcolm X versus the Martin Luther King Jr. perspective, is because as soon as you resort to physical violence, there's no way to mitigate that difference until one person surrenders or they're no longer capable of being able to live. I mean, that's how physical violence ends. It's brutal. It's awful. That's how human beings used to settle differences for thousands of years. What made the Western civilization different and the Constitutional Republic, which we're fighting for today, which is the great irony of it, is you solve your differences with arguments, with persuasion, right? So human beings, according to Aristotle, are the speaking beings. So there's only two ways to govern people. The two ways to govern people are by speaking persuasion. We talk about this all the time on our podcast, or by force. Mm. Well, they've been governing by force the last couple of years. They have. They're going to force us
Built
off social
out,
media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're governing by force by not allowing you to ask certain questions, by going after Trump supporters,
well,
and so
they've seized control of the main institutions of influence. And I don't just mean our governmental institutions. Actually, those have been government has been the one place where conservatives has consistently had a hand in things. But aside from that, the universities, Hollywood, the news media, overwhelmingly all controlled by the left. And as they've done that, they've over the past, let's say, 40, 50, 60 years, they have exerted increasing control across a population. And this is what they do. They slowly turn up the heat and they slowly flex their grip. And meanwhile, there's half the country, I would call it traditional America, that is getting disenfranchised by that, and
so,
that is the bullying you're talking about.
One sec, I'm sorry, Isabel. They say people are smashing glass in the doors to the House chamber. Police have guns drawn and aimed at the door. Matt Fuller, this is not verified, says they've shot into the chamber, so we don't know about that.
We are hearing that both the House and Senate chambers are being evacuated.
Yes,
as well.
And so this is a sad day. To see this go this way. And this is what John Nolte has said, which is it's a provocative take, sort of. Look what happens after the media and Democrats tell us over and over for 4 years that violence and undermining elections is acceptable. You can't make rules for just one side. The media and the Democrats built this. And someone responded, and I agree with her, I don't agree with it, but you are absolutely correct. And so this just in from Jake Sherman, quote, there's an armed standoff at the House front door. Police officer have their guns drawn at someone who is trying to reach the front door. I am going to take all of this with a grain of salt, meaning whatever. I want to see video evidence behind this idea.
Yeah.
I think their idea of an armed standoff might be different
than
mine.
They've cried wolf on that before.
So it'll be very interesting once this gets cleared up. And so, you know, once this gets cleared up, it'll be interesting to see if the Senate continues to debate. So what are we looking at, Andrew or Isabel?
You know, it's unclear when they're going to reconvene, if they are today. I know, you know, constitutionally and legally speaking, they have the capacity to have this debate for several days. There's really no specific timeline before Inauguration Day that they would have to finish things up. So if things have to be prolonged quite a bit for a few hours or for the rest of the day, that's certainly possible under the legal standing that we do have.
So here we are looking at this. It looks like a tweet from Matt Fuller that says they're shooting into the chamber. Looks like they're barring the chamber doors with
furniture.
Yes. So
that's a crazy sight.
Looks a lot like Les Mis on Broadway, if you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of that across the conversation, is that a lot of people are saying, I never thought I'd see this in America. I think some of that stuff is overblown, though. I genuinely do. I mean, I think, am I proud of this moment? No. Obviously, as a country, you'd hope that we would have resolved these conflicts before we get to this point. That being said, we have a pretty crazy history, and things have happened that are much crazier than this. Nevertheless, this is a shocking sight. I mean, it really is. And I think that's their intention. These people want to send a message that they haven't been listened to, that they feel disenfranchised, they feel screwed over by the system and by the institutions, and they're not going to take it anymore. And they're making a big demonstration. I have to believe this was pre-planned and that these people knew what they were doing. It's possible this was just a spontaneous combustion. Maybe it was a bit of both. This is a shocking sight. I mean, if anybody's been to the Capitol building, you know this space is a pretty large space, and it's pretty well protected. But they have been completely overwhelmed, it looks like, the Capitol Police.
Looks like it's starting to clear out a little bit.
Well, there's two different stairwells there.
Out a little bit.
There's two different stairwells there to two different entrances, different wings of the Capitol building. On one wing, it's less crammed. On the other one, it's lots of flags, shoulder to shoulder. It's pretty packed.
So people are saying on the ground that this is this place, it's kind of nuts. It does look like there's a lot of just people that are peacefully just standing there and exercising their First Amendment rights. And so emergency alert, Mayor Bowser issues a citywide curfew for D.C. for Wednesday, January 6th, starting at 6 p.m. until Thursday, January 7th. And so there is a curfew that's been put in place. There is a looks like the barring of the doors has happened there. And we're going to continue to monitor this as it happens in real time. Stunned, to say the least, that a lot of this has come to this. So this is what happens when you call half the country reprehensible and deplorable and all this. And stupid, and you have no standing, and you underestimate how people feel about certain situations. And so we have a couple people on the ground that we're going to try to get on the phone here as we monitor this. And unfortunately, a lot of these issues here could have been prevented. It could have been prevented if the House would have actually allowed investigations and debate into this over the last couple of months since early November. You guys can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Jaden has asked us, Charlie, these liberals are posing as Trump supporters. How do we prove it? We don't know. Some people are emailing us saying they disagree with my position on violence. Well, that's fine. I have a very simple question. Once you resort to violence, can you tell me exactly your plan to make it stop? And that's the whole point of violence, is that you kind of lose all of your faculties. And quite honestly, you then with it lose any sort of binds that tie you together. And that has always been what has differentiated the idea of Western civilization and a constitutional republic from the third world, quite honestly. Isabel, what's your analysis on all of this?
You know, it's hard for me to be surprised by some sort of manifestation of the frustration that we've been seeing over the last year, frankly 4 years, but particularly in the last 12 months, because when you couple the left's intense sphere of influence culturally – and through government agencies with the fact that people have been isolated from everything they know. They're forbidden from going to their jobs. They're forbidden from going to school. They can't gather with their friends and family members. They're not even supposed to look people in their full face anymore because we have to cover up half of our face all the time. You see a very rapid degradation mm-hmm. of society as we know it, and human nature starts to come out. People need community. People need a venue to share their frustration and to share the things that they're feeling about our free country. When you take that away, no longer do we live in a free country, and that's the sad reality.
That's right. And so in some ways, people need to have their concerns heard. They need to be platformed. And remember, Lauren Boebert was screaming. I was like, well, that's the energy of the entire movement, right? It does look like this crowd is thinning out a little bit. It does look like some of the people that are there are, you know, kind of and look, there. I'm going to be honest right now. Here's what's going to happen. Some of these people are getting excited, and that's fine, whatever. Some of these people are going to maybe regret some of the actions they're doing. Unlike the left, they're not going to get parking tickets. They're going to try every single one of these people with terrorism charges.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not supporting it. I'm telling you right now
that's
what's going to happen. Yeah. Unlike BLM and all these other people where they get parking tickets and released out of prison, they're going to throw the FBI and the DOJ on every single one of these people. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right.
And that's wrong. I don't support that.
Well, it's
I'm just telling you right now, that's what's coming next.
There should be accountability for breaking the laws, but it should work both ways. And I think that's the fact that they're going to have the book thrown at them when we know time and time again.
If laws were broken, you should enforce the law.
Yeah.
The point is they're going to use federal terrorism statutes, and this is not terrorism.
It's not. Which leads to an extreme double standard.
Of course. That's exactly right. That's right. So I think we have somebody on the ground here that we are going to that we're going to try to bring into here. Andrew, what are you looking at?
I mean, I'm looking at the sort of fallout of different reactions across. There was one report of shots fired inside the House chamber. Can't confirm or deny. That's a pretty big deal. I'm seeing different accounts that we're following. There's a HuffPost has got a reporter on the ground saying, "I heard an officer say shots fired." That was 2 minutes ago. So if that's happening, obviously that's a big deal, and it's another massive escalation. I think we already mentioned that the National Guard is being called to Capitol Hill to support the Capitol Police here. And what are you going to do? So we've got multiple people reporting about shots fired at the House, which is pretty crazy.
So what's probably going to happen is they're going to get this cleared up, and then eventually Congress will resume meeting. And my guess is that the future states after Arizona, this is going to kind of take some of
the wind out of the
picture.
Sails quite a bit. Yeah.
What's there,
this is one guy that's in the chamber.
Oh,
he's actually at the dais yelling, "Trump won that election." So they have gotten all the way into the dais, inside the chamber. This is video proof that's actually happened. So you have these.
He doesn't look like a Trump. I'm just gonna be honest. If you're wearing all black, does that look like a Trump supporter? That looks like how Antifa looks. I mean, it could be. I'm not.
I mean, it's cold.
All black?
Well, he's not wearing a mask.
Have you ever seen a Trump supporter wear all black? No, he has a mask underneath his neck.
He's got
Look, the thing is, we don't know. We don't know what's going on. We see clips of short videos. We see individual
Some people
still
are saying,
photos.
Well, Charlie, you're wearing all black.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the entire...
Yeah, we're also not storming the Capitol building, okay?
I'm talking about this...
Apples and oranges here,
I'm talking
guys.
About this entire paraphernalia thing he's got going on, right? He's got kind of like the biker gang look. What does Congressman Madison Cawthorn say?
Our friend Madison Cawthorn, so excited to see him become a congressman this week, by the way. That's so exciting.
He says,
"I am fighting a battle for our Constitution on the House floor with other patriots. This battle is on the House floor, not in the streets of D.C. I think that's very well said. We have a legal structure to deal with the ramifications of this election, assuming enough people are willing to be bold and speak up within that structure. So hopefully we can get back to a return to that. My hope is that whatever potential violence may be happening on Capitol Hill dwindles out very quickly. If you are a part of that, we are urging you to stop being a part of that. That's not speaking to who we are and what we believe in. But hopefully we can get this resolved here.
Well, Elijah Schaefer, I hope he has a very good attorney. So Elijah Schaefer has tweeted, breaking, "I am inside Nancy Pelosi's office with thousands of revolutionaries who have stormed the building. To put that into perspective, how quickly staff evacuated, emails are still on screen alongside a federal alert warning members of the current revolution." Okay, this is not a revolution, okay? Stop it. Stop it with this language.
Do I have to say that?
Okay, yeah, you have to be very careful using that word, okay? If you have any understanding of what that word actually means historically, just – I don't know if he's doing that sarcastically or not. Is he doing that sarcastically, Connor?
No, that's the word he's used. He's used it in multiple
You're
tweets.
Not Robespierre, okay? Stop it.
This guy with the what is this, a raccoon hat with the horns? I've seen this guy. I'm telling you, I've seen this guy at Trump rallies. I have. So I you know, call that anecdotal verification. He looks, you know, he's talking. He's got his flag. He's quite the character. He's memorable. Let me just tell you.
Davis has said, a source tells me the Department of Defense has just denied a request by D.C. officials to deploy the National Guard to the U.S. Capitol. That should put probably a factual nuance on here that it's not nearly as, I don't want to say, chaotic as they might make
it
seem.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
I'm trying to avoid hyperventilating language here on purpose because it's exactly what the left would want everybody to do. And listen, all I'm seeing is people occupying the space. I've heard reports of shots fired. Can neither confirm nor deny that. There are multiple reports inside the cat. Obviously, that is at a whole other level. We'll see.
It's just difficult for us to tell exactly who's perpetrating any potential violence. We don't know so much.
We're getting a lot of mixed emails here at freedom@charliekirk.com. We have some inside sources here in the Capitol building. One person has texted me saying that looking outside the window, most of the people are just peacefully protesting and out there. So, Isabel, you have something?
We'll see what happens here in the next few minutes. I am curious to know if this report of shots fired had anything to do with the earlier reports of fireworks.
I think it might be tear gas shots fired.
Fireworks, and there was tear gas.
Let's get her on the line, Connor. Can we get her to FaceTime us? No? Phone call? So we have some people on the ground that are give us live results. Is she in Congress or is she outside? Okay, yeah, I hope she's not in some sort of...
Who are we talking about here?
Ashley is... going to be calling in here from the front lines, which is it looks like kind of an Occupy thing, and of course the left completely supported Occupy Wall Street, right, and Occupy whatever. It seems, and it is the people's house, but insofar that people are going into offices and looking at emails and smashing windows and barricades, I will not put my support behind any such retaliation.
Yeah, I think Eli would say he's just following the crowd and reporting to provide footage.
I'm just reading his tweets. Yeah, I don't know what he's – Yeah, I don't want to imply. I'm just saying I hope he has a good lawyer because they're going to come after everyone who's there right now.
Yeah, I would tell you there's not a whole heck of a lot of sympathy across the
zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist right now for these folks. I see it in I see you guys in our chats. Defending everybody here. Some of you are defending, I should say.
Well, I think the proper blame needs to be placed on our leaders that have betrayed the American people for so long and have basically denied any form of a pressure release valve in our country.
I think that's absolutely right. And I keep using the word abdicated when it comes to our courts. Our leaders have abdicated their responsibility. What else has happened is, you know, we've been silenced, and I think this idea that dialogue is no longer protected in this country, freedom of speech is no longer protected. It's sort of like First Amendment in name only as well.
Yep.
But
Fino?
In all practice, finos and rhinos. But in all seriousness, I mean, when you give away so much power to these corporations that then become more powerful than your federal government in certain aspects, and they control more of the information that we share. And then they exert that control in a sensorial way. I mean, don't be surprised when these release valves get released. Again, not condoning it, but no, I'm
but
also understanding.
Look, just
it.
From a historical, this is a predictable outcome. It is. And this is what happens when also you lose both those Georgia Senate runoff races. People feel their country is completely gone. And I was trying to explain this to a member of Congress the other day. I say, you know, if you go after someone's wife, they're going to come after you. You go 100%. After someone's country and you don't give them an explanation and it feels stolen and it feels just fraudulent. Yeah. How do you think people are going to react?
Yeah.
And they say, well, people should know better than that. Like, no, you don't understand human behavior. That there the bridge between decent society and absolute chaos is
– it's a very thin line.
Well, it's a very fragile line that we live in. And you know what keeps that line Do you know what prevents us from going into situations like this? One thing, freedom of speech. Yep. They have destroyed freedom of speech at every corner. You're not allowed to wear a MAGA hat in the streets. You're not allowed to tell your neighbors
you're not allowed to talk about voter irregularities.
No, and then
voter
they have the Trump Accountability Project. They go after Josh Hawley's home. Right. By the way, the fact they did not arrest any of the people that went to Josh Hawley's home, yet they
Nobody's
are going to charge every one of these people
for federal terrorism
charges.
That's exactly right.
Let's
bring Ashley in here.
Ashley, are you live on the ground? What are you seeing and what are you hearing?
I am. Charlie, I've never seen anything like this. There are people scaling the wall, storming the steps. There are people of all colors, ages, from all over the country storming this Capitol building right now.
So tell us kind of what's happening. Are they physically going through barricades? Are they smashing windows? We're hearing all sorts of different reports. What are you hearing?
They're going through the barricades. There are windows broken in the Capitol building. There are multiple breaches on the doors in the Capitol building. Every square inch of this Capitol building basically is being either scaled or broken into, breached. And there is a holdup in the chambers.
How big of a crowd is this, and do you think it's the majority of the crowd that's participating in this? And how big are we talking here?
It's huge. You go to the Capitol building and you turn around, and there's people as far as the eye can see. Huge crowd. I've never seen anything like this. But most of these people are just waving flags and standing peacefully outside. And then there are the ones at the building that are scaling the walls and trying to, there are some aggravators who are trying to get more people to scale the walls. But for the most part, the biggest mass of people is peaceful outside.
Andrew?
Yeah, we've been hearing, Ashley, reports of shots fired. Have you heard people talking about that on the ground? What's the update there?
Yes, and there was a red flare that went up as well. And the mayor just issued a curfew for 6 p.m., and this is going to be strictly enforced. They are storming the floor. So you've
been hearing people chatting about that?
Up, shots fired.
You've been hearing. So do you think it was confusion?
Yes. Well,
that it was actually a flare?
In front of
okay.
No, the flare was separate. The flare was separate.
Okay, so you are hearing chatter of shots fired. We're seeing reports on that online, but then we're seeing people say it was potentially fireworks, that it wasn't that. So.
It could be fireworks inside. It could be fireworks inside. I'm not sure exactly in the building, but outside there was a flare that went up, and there are people scaling the building and going through the doors.
Ashley, what are you hearing from people on the ground? What's the general sentiment of the people who've gathered outside the Capitol?
The general sentiment is that most of these people are shocked that this is happening in the first place, and a lot of people are just very discontent with what's going on in the country. But most of these people are not, they have no intentions of scaling these walls or going into the Capitol building, but it's just a lot of people who don't know what to do with their frustrations of this election.
Yeah, we are seeing lots of images of confrontations happening here. So, Ashley, can you just give us an idea of how the rally was? What was the spirit there?
How many people?
Yeah, and also kind of who's kind of driving this entire thing? Are there any people that are really kind of calling for this kind of storming of the Capitol? We're trying to get some idea here.
There's random aggregators. I don't know that it was anybody from these organized events. As you know, there were multiple coalitions that put on the march this morning, which was incredible, very energized. There were people who are still very hopeful for this country. Kind music playing, everybody happy and lively, and you still kind of see that spirit even outside of the Capitol building a little bit, except as you get closer to it. But for the most part, these people they're happy. Most of the people away from directly in front of the Capitol building don't even know that this is going on.
Yeah. Well, Ashley, stay on it. Please call back as things continue to develop. Ashley St. Clair, what's your social media so people can follow you?
It's at St. Clair Ashley on Twitter and Real Ashley St. Clair on Instagram.
Yeah, so keep following that for live updates. Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate it. Yeah, stay safe.
Yep.
Thanks,
Ashley.
So, Andrew, what are we seeing?
I mean, we're seeing agitators breaking windows in the Capitol building. That's Andy Ngo's been putting out some great video. I recommend people follow his feed on Twitter. Again, me personally, I'm not going to hyperventilate yet. Obviously, I don't agree with what's going on. I want people to knock this crap off.
I agree with the sentiment. I disagree with any physical
exactly.
action. Let me be very clear.
Violence is always wrong. You know, these people breaking down windows into the Capitol building going in. Again, but it's an expression of the angst that's been building up for years now, but especially since November 3rd. You know, I remember that moment, and we had to deal with it on this show directly, when YouTube basically said, December 14th, that's our deadline, and we're going to turn off any feeds that now talk about voter fraud.
Yep.
I mean, think about that. This is YouTube is not only a massive video site, the number one video site in the world, it's also the second largest search mm-hmm. site in the world. People don't realize that. There is so much content on YouTube. It's a way a lot of people get their content. It's a way a lot of people get their news, their analysis. We certainly put out a lot of content on YouTube. YouTube said on December 14th, you can't do that anymore. Again, you are monetizing our First Amendment. You are monetizing our speech. You are monetizing our content. And yeah, we are sharing in that platform in the benefit. But it's a profound moment that happened on December 14th, and we had to adjust our strategy just to be able to keep bringing you content every day. But we shouldn't have had to. Mm-hmm. I mean, frankly, we shouldn't have had to, and it was a travesty, and it was degrading to even have to sort of work around such laws. I mean, we're starting to put all of our content up on Rumble as well because of certain things, and they're going to start streaming soon. So hopefully that becomes a viable competitor, and we're certainly there to help support it. But nevertheless, those types of things are profound. Those types of changes in our society are profound, and they're happening at breakneck speed. And I think human beings are not designed to adapt and change to societal mm-hmm. changes this fast, and this is what you're seeing, this convulsive moment happen.
So you guys can email us your thoughts of what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and I want to know if you agree or disagree with what's happening here, because a lot of people are emailing us cheering this on, which I'm surprised about. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. What's your analysis of all of this? freedom@charliekirk.com. Can we play this tape here? It's about 10 seconds long of what's happening on the Senate floor in real time. Play tape.
Quite a scene.
Who are you with?
Hey, I'm with Getty.
Got it. Thank you. So it just looks like people wearing MAGA hats have gone. That looks like the Senate floor. It doesn't look like that many seats here. Now, we are going to be joined momentarily by with Congressman Madison Cawthorn, who's there right now.
Yeah.
Who can kind of give us an update. He's also objecting to the results. Youngest member ever elected to the House of Representatives. Congressman Madison Cawthorn is going to tell us what's really going on in the Capitol right now as it happens. We're hearing from a lot of you, and we understand that there's a lot of, let's just say, tensions are going high. What are you seeing, Isabel? Yeah, the Viking man has assumed the mantle.
The Viking has assumed the dais.
Is this our raccoon hat friend? This is exciting stuff.
MAGA Viking.
A lot of this, I think, is just a culmination of not having an outlet and not having a venue to express frustrations of how dramatically the world has changed in the last 12 months. Not only do we see an assault on free speech online, but also we're prevented from literally gathering with one another one-on-one to talk about our frustration now because of COVID-19 regulations, not being able to go to work, not being able to go to school, not having friends and family mm-hmm. over for holidays or gatherings on weekends. So we've completely bottled up every individual's frustration without an outlet for it to be released. So naturally, speaking to human behavior, we're going to see frustrations rise. We're going to see tension culminate in something like this. Not to say violence is ever okay. We should absolutely all be collectively condemning any violence that may or may not be happening at the Capitol building today. But people need an opportunity to speak their mind. And frankly, that is the value that our country was founded on, that each individual has a role to play in society and that they have something to say when it comes to where our culture should be moving forward.
The predominant emails that we've been getting, freedom@charliekirk.com, is not supporting this. They are saying that it's mostly Antifa. There are some people that are saying that they support, the violence, and you're entitled to that opinion. But that is not a viewpoint that I have at all whatsoever. It looks. Let's get this photo up on the stream. It looks like federal law enforcement with guns drawn through
well,
the.
Well, that's in the chamber. That's absolutely. It's in the chamber itself. So they're breaking windows into the chamber.
Yeah, breaking windows into the chamber. It looks like they had their guns drawn. We're getting lots of feedback here, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support, how long have we been here? We've been here for 4 hours already, four or five. We're going to go all day. I did not expect this. I could tell you that much. You guys can give us a little bit of support at charliekirk.com/support. Do we have that on the live stream? Are we showing that, Connor? Yeah. It looks like guns are drawn on the people that are trying to get in. Look at that. Jeez.
Look at this. Let's see. Guys, can we get this video up? There's actually video of a individual being pulled out on a stretcher from the Capitol building. So that's not good.
Looks as if
right
shots
here.
May have, in fact, been fired.
Yeah, it looks like people are getting very, very hurt, covered in blood, in bad shape. So we'll, that is.
Apologies for the MSNBC here. Right here, you're going to see this person coming in a stretcher right here. Wow.
Is this a clip?
Yeah, it was a clip. Go ahead and cut it off, guys. Yeah.
So we have a source inside said Capitol Police shot an unarmed woman in front of him. And so I guess that is it. So let's see if BLM Incorporated cares about the shooting of a unarmed person. Again, this is all just kind of hearsay. And so continue to email us your thoughts. Do you support this? Are you behind this? freedom@charliekirk.com. The 99% of you that are emailing us and are saying right now that this is not what Trump supporters do. They think violence is wrong. This is not the way to go about it. There are some outliers that are saying, I support this. The revolution has begun. And obviously, you have a right to that opinion. I will not share that opinion, though. And so that's that. So we have Congressman Madison Cawthorn on the line. Is that right?
Yep. There we go.
Charlie, it's Madison. How are you?
Congressman, I wish this was under better circumstances. First of all, are you safe?
Charlie, I'm safe. Yes. As you know, I believe in the Second Amendment as well as a lot of other members. So we are armed. We're in a safe location. Can't disclose where. But we are safe. You know, if you don't mind, I'll break down what happened in the House floor.
Yeah, please do, Madison. The floor is yours.
There were some incredible constitutional scholars, Mike Johnson, making a case about contesting this election based on constitutional merits. You know, this is the normal process that many elections have been contested over the years, very normal circumstances. Then we started hearing a ruckus outside. We saw that the Capitol Police was getting a little restless. You could tell just using situational awareness. And then they came and said they started locking the doors to the House chamber, said, hey, we're going to keep you all here. There's some people who have broke through, you know, the first few lines of security, and they are now on the House steps, which leads directly into the Capitol building. After that point, we then had somebody come in. They told us to prepare to put on our hazmat suits and escape hoods, which, you know, because they started firing tear gas to try and disperse this crowd that had made it into the Capitol Rotunda. The beautiful, iconic image everybody knows. And then some people made it into Statuary Hall, which is literally just on the other side of the door of the House chamber. And this was a very rowdy crowd, very intent on violence, chanting that they wanted to stop the steal. But, you know, Charlie, if it's coming from me, I believe that this was agitators strategically placed inside of this group. You can call them Antifa. You can call them people paid by the Democratic machine. But to make the Trump movement look bad and to make this look like it was a violent outrage when really, you know, the battle is being fought by people like myself and other great patriots who were standing up against the establishment, standing up against this tyranny that we see in our country. And then we were evacuated completely and we moved very fast. You know, I've got to give a big shout out to, Congressman Richard Hudson, Congressman Ted Budd, They did an incredible job of assisting me down the stairways, of assisting me through the waist. So those two men are heroes, and I really do appreciate them. The Capitol Police is trying to get everything under control. There is an armed standoff currently. Many shots have been fired. It's very dangerous. But, Charlie, if you don't mind, I would really like to pontificate on why this happened. I'm sure you've got
some great
ideas.
Please do. Go ahead, Congressman.
Wait,
please go ahead.
Can I stop you just for one second? You're saying you personally have heard multiple shots?
Because of the partisan divide that we have in this country, because of the national parties on either side, and that's Republican and Democrat. These people who are trying to divide America so that they can garner power for themselves. You see what this harvest, we are reaping that has been sowed for the last several decades. You know, Charlie, I think that's why you started Turning Point USA. That's why I ran for Congress. It was to make America look like America again, look like a country where we can have an honest discourse of difficult ideas to have without having to resort to violence. If we continue going down this path of debauchery, of tyranny and corruption that the Democrats are taking us down, then, my friend, I'll tell you, we're going to see bloodshed in our country very soon. And that is something that I just am sickened to think about.
I agree. And Madison, I agree with your analysis on this. And when the Supreme Court doesn't take up decisions, when state legislatures don't take up decisions, when we're kicked off of social media and you insult half the country, a awful result of that is violence. Andrew, you had a question. I'm sorry, there was a delay.
Yep. Madison, can you hear me? Just double checking that the mic is working.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great. Yeah, so you're saying you personally have heard multiple shots fired?
Yes, we have heard shots.
Got it. Are you hearing anything specifically on that? Is that coming from the people that have broken into the Capitol building, or is that the Capitol Police?
I do not have an answer on that.
Got it.
I know that tear gas has been fired and dispersed, and some rubber bullets have been fired by Capitol Police. But I don't know if the protesters are armed or where the fire is coming from.
It's just it's terrible. And so, Matt, Congressman, to your best, I love calling you Congressman, by the way, the youngest ever elected congressman in American history. And Madison, I do have to say, thanks to you and Lauren Boebert, you guys are armed now, right? That's a new thing. So,
Yes, indeed. So, you know, obviously having the wheelchair, I'm able to carry multiple weapons at one time. So, you know, everyone around me is armed. And, you know, I think an armed society is a polite society. So I feel very safe. We don't have any high nerves here. Everybody's very, very calm, very sober minded.
So Congressman, I do want to ask, though, are all your other members that you know of safe? Is there anyone that is currently not in a position of that? And do you see that maybe there are other – is it all violent, or are there some people that are being peaceful? You know, what is the makeup here? Because I'm hearing that there might be a couple dozen agitators, but generally, you know, this is a peaceful demonstration outside.
You know what? I will say I can't really speak to the latter half of that yet. The Capitol Police was very heads up, and I was so focused on the constitutional argument we were making on the House floor that we were evacuating very quickly.
Yeah.
And so I did not see the protesters myself, but I'll tell you, after reviewing video footage that we've been sent from Capitol Police and we're seeing on Twitter, on Instagram, you can tell that a lot of these people in here are – there's just a violent – you know, I call them a dirty couple dozen. But it what is going on is disgusting. It's impermissible. Nobody who believes in law and order should be doing this. You know, we're going through the legal mechanisms to stop this steal, to stop this this election fraud. And so, you know, I urge everyone for peace. I urge everyone to be sober-minded about this. This is a very serious thing that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. Well, there's also reports of a woman being shot that has come in, which is something none of us wanted to see. At least that is what the video footage and our sources are saying, which is just terrible. Looks like guns have been drawn on the House floor. There's images of that are now making its way all over
there.
So,
yeah, they've rolled furniture into the doorways, barricading.
Charlie, I just got to say, man, hurry up and get done with Turning Point USA, because I need you in Congress, brother. I need some reinforcements. This is because of the partisan infighting, because of the two major establishments. And we've got to stop career politicians. It's disgusting.
Yeah, Congressman, can you talk about that a little bit more if you have a second? Can you talk about what you've learned? You're 25 years old. You're a congressman. You ran for office as a renegade, and now you are rightfully placing the blame of all this outrage and all of this anger at the political parties. Can you talk about that, please? Like, why is it, I mean, especially the Republicans, why are all these people so angry? Build that out for us.
You wouldn't see this much anger in the country if people felt like they were being fairly represented.
That's right.
Washington, D.C., because in the Constitution, it's not really even supposed to be a city. It's just supposed to be a place where we come to litigate and to pass laws. But you see, so they don't have a representative. So you see that on their license plate, they have the classic line, no taxation without representation. And you hear this all over the place. You hear this from our founding fathers. When you are not being adequately represented, it creates frustration and agitation within the populace. And that's what I believe is going on in the Republican Party right now. There is a contingent of what I would say patriots. The overwhelming majority of Republicans are what I would call patriots. But unfortunately, because of the way this partisan two-party system has been set up, there's some people who have been playing the power games. And you know my story is an anomaly. Normally, you have to be part of the establishment to be able to get elected. And so you have these establishment pawns who are being elected who are not adequately representing the American people. And because of that, you see this frustration and fury that has been building up for the last several decades. And so the people are hungry for fighters. The people are hungry for people who are going to stand up. People feel like their election has been stolen from them. They feel like mm-hmm. there has been so much fraud. They feel like the Constitution was violated. It's very, very clear in Article 1, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution that only state legislatures can determine the manner and the means by which we are supposed to elect our national electors who elect the president. And when you see that being violated by just city clerks or by these Democrats who unilaterally, whether it's a governor or a secretary of state, unilaterally make decisions to circumvent the state legislatures, you can see that the American people are hungry to have politicians who are going to stand up and fight for them. And so then when they look to the Republican Party, when I am literally last night up until about 11 p.m. having to roam the halls of the Senate office building trying to find a senator to stand up with the gall to actually stand up to this election fraud, the American people are frustrated. And so if we had people who actually represented what Americans were feeling, you would not see this frustration and fury within the American populace.
Yeah, amen, Madison. So can you end on that note? You were rolling around yesterday, people were saying, with your titanium spine, literally and metaphorically, trying to get a senator to help agree to that. You're 25 years old, Madison. We're basically the same age, just a couple years separate us. You're fighting for this country more than people that have been there for a couple of decades. Tell us your experience yesterday, and how does that manifest into some of this nonsense that we're seeing right now?
I'll tell you, there are great leaders. Him and I don't always see eye to eye, but Jim Jordan is someone who stood up courageously. Andy Biggs, someone who stood up courageously. Lauren Boebert, Byron Donalds. But save the courageous few, people like Mike Johnson, who I greatly look up to, save those mm-hmm. courageous few. People in Congress, I would say, have a notable lack of courage. And, that's what my comms people will tell me to say that they have a deficit of courage. But I'll say it more plainly, that there is cowardice within the within the institution of the Congress. And so my experience here is that there is a lot of laziness. There is a lot of cowardice. And what we need to do is we need to have people who are going to come here. This is one of the most important days in our nation's history, what's going on today, January 6th. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was the last person in all of Congress to be at my office is ridiculous. We should have all been working through the night, burning the candle on both ends, trying to make sure that we had a sound constitutional argument for this rather than just spewing conspiracy theories. It's pathetic.
It's unbelievable. Congressman, please stay safe. I know you will, and you don't know who is there and what their motives are, and we don't support any of that nonsense or that violence. What we're seeing, people are now hospitalized, and people are
–
I hope no one will die.
Critical condition.
It's very bad. And so, Congressman, thank you, though, for taking principled stands and for finding the real reason why this is all happening. So thank you. We appreciate this, Madison.
It's an honor, brother. Talk to you soon. See you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew, what are we looking at? And by the way, just a shout out to Congressman Madison Cawthorn. He's doing a wonderful job for our country.
I'm glad he's safe.
And he's also he has the right analysis that this is a betrayal of our leaders, of why people are so angry in both parties. He is analyzing this correctly.
No, it's 100% correct. Yeah, and just a quick note on that, you know, obviously it looks like the vast majority of these folks are relatively peaceful. They're just standing, occupying the steps. But there are now reports that one woman, we showed the clip just a second ago, getting wheeled out on a stretcher. It does look like she is in critical condition. Not sure what the context obviously was of that, but she's been shot in the chest, critical condition. And I think, you know, what's interesting about this, we talk about the crazy history of America that a lot of times we tend to sanitize and whitewash. You know, I think the last time, though, that the Capitol building was breached was probably, I mean, and please, audience, fact check me on this, is 1812, in the War of 1812. So this is
well, look,
historical.
And I just want to be very honest with everyone watching here. Some people are emailing us. Most people, 99%, are saying they don't like the violence. They don't like this. The 1% of people that are emailing this, do you think this is really – this is like the left's – this is their highlight reel they're going to use against us for the rest of our life. And this is going to – it just moves back years of work we have tried to do about how we are the ones that resort – to speech and not physical violence, and people say, well, it's time to take our country back. Well, then you're calling for an all-out civil war if that's what you're calling for. And no, that is not what we support here on this program at all whatsoever.
Well, and
again, that's the vast minority of people, but I feel,
again,
a great need to say that.
There's a lot of blame that could be placed in a lot of places here, but
I will say
that this is what happens when you know, the elites in Washington, especially left of center, give a wink and a nod. When there was serious violence, BLM, Antifa raging in the streets, and there was a complete lack of condemnation. I will tell you that across right-wing media sphere, there's almost complete and utter condemnation from everybody of any of the violence, of any breaking of laws.
So
we did not see that same kind of condemnation across the board.
Let's look at some footage here of
this is the window getting broken. Yeah.
So this appears people start to be breaching the Capitol building by breaking down some windows.
And there is a live stream of some people in Pelosi's office right now. So let's try to find that live stream if we can cut to that. Okay, these are some people cutting windows and all this, breaking down windows. Play tape.
That's the U.S. Capitol.
All right, cut this crap out. I want you to imagine for a second, just to be philosophically consistent, if this was Black Lives Matter, do you think that we would be denouncing this right now? I mean, seriously, if this was BLM Incorporated and they were knocking down windows, do you think we'd be calling for their arrests, knocking down windows and all of it? I mean, that's just ridiculous to me. Some people are in Nancy Pelosi's office. What are some of the other pundits saying? Are we on an island here, or am I living in some form of a
No, I mean, New York Post is talking about shots fired. We're hearing CNN's reporting that the woman is in critical condition after being shot. I think, you know, the basic call right now is stop calling them protesters, call them domestic terrorists.
Look, all these people are going to be tried under terrorist charges. And again, the left won't. I'm sorry, Isabel.
It's okay. We've just heard from the President of the United States again as well, asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. His tweet says, "No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you."
So look, people are saying, and I get the sentiment, and look, someone said, you know, they just messaged me. They said, well, BLM wasn't arrested. You're right. But we know how this works, okay? That's the point. That you're all going to get arrested and you're all going to be tried for federal terrorism charges and you might go to Guantanamo Bay. I'm not kidding.
And the difference is that everybody on the right is going to be joining them.
And people say, well, that warrants a civil war. Like, okay, then explain to me the strategic plan of exactly how that works, okay? Tell me how many of your family members you're willing to go send into a civil war of this country. Seriously. And they're like, well, I'm willing to do it. Well, okay, that's a much bigger, you know, conversation that I completely reject. Let's put it that way. What I am thinking this is all headed towards is a national divorce, which is a completely different thing.
Right.
Which is where. Oh, yeah, where 10 or 12 Republican states get together and they say,
Jesus land.
You know, well, they just say, we're going to peacefully separate.
Well, and actually, there's a way to do the opposite of that as well. If you look at the framework for the convention of states idea to call another constitutional convention, theoretically, you could also expel a state that you feel no longer falls into the culture of the United States of America. So I think there's multiple avenues for that to become within the realm of possibility here in the next few months and years.
And look, again, I want to say, why is this happening? Why is this all happening? It's happening because normal people, because people that love their country, the pressure release valves that were built for them no longer work. The elections no longer work. Free speech no longer works. Freedom of speech is how you are able to express your disagreements. Freedom of speech is how you are able to speak, just be able to voice not just your opinions, but get things off of your chest, right? When all of that disappears, people manifest that into violence. We have said this so many times, right? There are two ways to govern people: through speech, rationale, and persuasion, or by force. And as soon as you go to force, it does not end well. It doesn't end well for you or for your country or civilization or for the Constitution or for anyone. What are you looking at, Andrew?
Yeah, I know. I mean, basically the same. You know, a lot of people are calling for the president to get on the, you know, get on TV, get in front of the camera and condemn this. He's issued a couple of tweets already saying keep everybody safe, support the Capitol Police. You know, I think that it's naive to think that he's not going to shoulder a significant amount of the ire that is flung after, you know, in the hours that follow here. He's going to receive a lot of that. But at the same time, you know, precedent would say that we were able to keep safe in one of these. We were able to keep things orderly, especially all protests on the right have always been pretty orderly.
So well, that's why this is an outlier, which very well could be agitators infiltrating,
right,
and people trying to use the emotions that you guys know that they know is out there and try to manifest that into something that's not. Remember, the agitators on the left, they're very good at what they do. They know what they are doing.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we haven't seen that reported. And once we do,
no, it's all speculation.
Yeah, it's all speculation.
This is not consistent with any.
Not at all.
That any of the behavior we've seen from Trump supporters.
Yeah.
I want you guys to email me what you're thinking. freedom@charliekirk.com. What's your opinion on this? What is your perspective? Please email us in real time, freedom@charliekirk.com.
Well, and again, the one thing that's going to frustrate me, though, and it's probably going to frustrate a lot of people in our audience, is that the media spin on this. Again, you're not hearing anybody condone this. You're hearing condemnation. There's no place for violence. There's no place for breaking the law and really putting our law enforcement in harm's way. Not cool, not a good thing at all. But 2 points off that. One, it's going to really tick me off when I see the media spin on this.
It's already done.
It's already done. It's cemented.
What did Will Chamberlain say?
That this is like Charlottesville times 100 negative for the conservative movement. This is going to put the conservative movement back years.
I am now going to have years of work when I go to college campuses persuading people that we're the people of speech and of tolerance and trying to hear the other side.
Well,
Andrew.
That's one thing. But, I mean, I will tell you that when BLM and when Antifa were rioting and burning, all we heard was mostly peaceful protest. These were peaceful people. I mean, we could build you a montage a mile long about mostly peaceful protest. There will be no such grounds given to people on the right that are doing this. They will be hung and quartered. You know, this is going to be, the book is going to be thrown at them.
So this tape is going to be played back for years too. And so let me just be very clear. And I know this is a conversation people like to have. People say, well, how is this different than our revolution? Okay, if you're now saying we want a armed rebellion revolution, then go say that. I'm not supporting that. I don't think we're there as a country. I don't. I just have to say that, okay? So a lot of people are emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com, saying they're going to go take up arms. I'm telling you right now, you're going to lose, okay? And it's a stupid idea, and that's not where we are in our country. And I there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of people that have that. You have to use the mechanisms that are there in front of you. If not, you go try to barter a peaceful separation. But this stuff, I'm telling you, is this is exactly what the left has wanted for a long time. If you could not have written a better gift to them. This will justify their power grab. This will justify mass surveillance. This will justify all of this stuff. For those of you that are emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com that are supporting it and saying that they are now prepping for a civil war, I denounce that completely.
Andrew, this media spin on what's happening is already done. I mean, frankly, the word terrorists is the number one trending word on Twitter right now. You're seeing the editor at large for our friends over at Media Matters literally tweeting 4 minutes ago, Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley, is a terrorist. Let's be clear about that. So this has already broken
loose.
Well,
Media Matters can go pound sand.
Of course.
I hope you're watching. You can pound sand.
But the reality is the cat's out of the bag here. I think we're going to be seeing
this explode. No, the narrative writes itself. I mean, you don't have to be a communications whiz to understand what's already going to happen.
Look, this is from a source that I really trust. As I'm watching it continue to unfold, I'm pretty sure that Antifa infiltrated the Patriot groups today and is part of the color revolution script where their goal is to get us into a civil war. I really don't think the Patriots would incite the violence that you're seeing right now. That's from a source that I really trust.
I'd say I believe that 50%. I do believe that there could be agitators that are whooping everybody up.
Look at this. These people are wearing gas masks. Because
of the tear gas.
Yep, because of the tear gas.
That was what Madison was telling us about.
And so Mike Cernovich has said this, quote, Antifa always counter-protests Trump's event, yet they didn't today. Their absence is the dog that didn't bark. Maybe instead they started to dress up
that's
as things they're not.
That's
a very compelling argument,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
That's the most compelling
and
argument.
And look, the other argument is this, is that there is no track record of Trump supporters doing this. None. We have never seen this. Instead, we've seen the opposite of Trump supporters being pummeled and being attacked and all of it. And then you might have some people that are, you know, on the edges that all of a sudden, you know.
And the vast majority are literally just standing there with flags waving, taking back the house for the
people. Well, can we just have a little bit of levity?
Please.
Kyle Kashuv has tweeted out, Pelosi's schedulers have an entire section dedicated for her hair appointments.
Oh, wow.
Because people have just assumed control of Pelosi's computer. I guess it's the people's house, right?
Uh-huh.
So here we are.
That track record, though, of a lack of violence on the conservative side of thinking is so important. I can't think of how many events each of us have attended. The protests against Brett Kavanaugh, Trump support rallies, March for Life, March for Our Lives. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. And that lack of a counter protest from the left is so clearly missing here that it certainly begs the question, where are they?
That's exactly right. And so I saw Antifa, it's going down, none of it, right? So
we'd heard conflicting reports about the National Guard. It looks like it will be activated. About 1,100 guardsmen are going to be on duty. And this comes after the breach of the Capitol. So, I mean, I would have assumed there wouldn't have been that would have definitely happened, but now it looks like it's for sure. Yeah, Kaylee McEnany is reporting the same. The National Guard is on the way along with other federal protective services.
And anyone who has done this or who has played into this, they will be arrested and they're not going to get parking tickets. I could tell you that much. So someone says right here, Charlie, you guys are wrong and weak in this. This is patriots that are over dialogue, over being stepped on. They are fighting a righteous fight. Some wars are worth fighting. Some wars are worth righteous. Okay, Larissa Enriquez, then go die right now and go shoot at police officers. I mean, that is the dumbest take I could possibly imagine. That's where this ends. If you're calling for massive insurrection, then you are saying that your fellow countrymen are enemies. That's what you're saying. And that is the wrong take that is rooted in emotion and not in rationale. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And you got to also understand that these protesters are disgracing all of us right now. Every moral high ground, every piece of argument is now going to be contested. They're going to play this video back. And you got to understand, they hold all the levers except for we the people. And they are going to use this as propaganda now for the next 20, 30 years that shows that right-wing violence and right-wing extremism.
Yes.
So this puts us all back. This does not represent all Trump supporters. And yet they
will use it to tar
and feather all of us.
From sources I am hearing and seeing outside of some of the emails that I'm getting that are calling for a civil war, which I'm going to just continue to just kind of swat down because I just feel a moral obligation to do that. It seems like the predominant viewpoint right now is that this was potentially left-wing agitators that infiltrated into this. So
well,
the investigations will show that.
Is the gunshot. I like, how does that make any sense? I mean, there was a – if you're in with a bunch of protesters that are your people, why would you be shooting at each other? Who mm-hmm. shot who? Was this a Capitol Police officer that shot one of the people going inside? We don't have any clarity on who shot who and where that came from. Definitely gonna remain a bit skeptical about that story. We do know that she is shot. We saw footage of a woman getting wheeled out on a stretcher, so we know that this is real. This isn't made up. But nevertheless, maybe this story that's playing out is not so simple. Maybe it's not so clean cut. Maybe to Cernovich's point, the fact that they were not counter protesting day is the dog that didn't bark. It is the proof that there's something else afoul here.
Well, I think it's clear for anyone watching, this isn't a simple situation that's happening right now. We're seeing very short, isolated clips of video. We're seeing still images from people trying to scale the Capitol building. But we don't know who these people are. Just because you're wearing a red hat does not mean you voted a certain way or you believe a certain thing. So we have to be very cautious until we get some
that's
sort of
right.
confirmation.
Okay. So, yes, it's being reported that Capitol Police shot someone trying to breach the building.
That's
okay.
right. That's right.
So...
Email us your questions as it's happening in real time, freedom@charliekirk.com. I would not be surprised that this is a psyops operation from left-wing agitators that are playing off of the understandable frustration from Trump supporters, got them worked up, and then people act and work emotionally. I would not be surprised by that. We're going to look for more evidence of that, and my reasoning is twofold. Number one, no counter-protest, as Mike Cernovich has mentioned, from Antifa all day today. And number two, I would also say that this is very uncharacteristic
Super
of any Trump supporters. I mean, how many Trump rallies have we been to? We've never seen
prologue,
anyone
this is,
work.
This is
like
crazy.
This.
If past is prologue, you think about the night of the RNC, the final night where you had Senator Rand Paul getting accosted in the streets. This is the type of behavior that we've come to expect from left and right. This does not fit. It really doesn't fit the fact patterns here. So I think as we've been saying, let's reserve judgment. We don't like this, but at the same time, we don't know who it is. We don't know who these people are. That has yet to be determined. So I happen to think that a very viable theory is that there were agitators. They whooped people into a frenzy and they started storming. Were those people that were real Trump supporters, or were those infiltrators? We don't know. I'm gonna withhold judgment because, to Charlie's point, it does not fit the fact pattern.
I have said this though, and this only goes and shows my argument. And some of you that are very angry, emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com, they'll at least agree at this, which this only goes to show that we are headed for a national divorce very soon. There's very little that unites someone from Kansas than someone from San Francisco. What do you do about that? I'm not saying I support this. I'm just saying this is going to happen, where certain states are going to say, we don't want to live in the same country as you. We're going to break away. We've been talking about this for quite some time, and this only goes to show that we are headed in that direction, unfortunately, very, very soon.
Yeah.
And it's because our leaders have done such a terrible job governing our country.
Jack Posobiec said, CNN will be playing these clips back for the next 10 years. Try 20.
Yeah. Try the rest of our lifetime, honestly. I think we've already seen a lot of sentiment before today and the events of today, too, about this idea of a national divorce. There have been several prominent people talking about it. You've seen ideas for it repeatedly introduced in the state legislature in Texas, at least. But I think after the events of today, that's certainly going to become a national conversation that we'll be hearing a lot more about.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of frustration that mirrors my own about just knowing how this is going to be reported. You can have, I mean, just ballpark estimate. How many BLM and Antifa riots were we exposed
and
to?
They never
I remember
got
being afraid in my home because there was a riot down the street. And we were being told there was reports that Antifa was going to be and BLM were going to be coming for us in the suburbs, and they were going to bring it to everybody's neighborhoods. You know, there was legitimate in June. Remember back, it was legitimately a terrifying moment in the country. We don't hear anything about that.
No.
You never hear about that. You don't hear anything about it.
In fact, sometimes that's actively even celebrated by prominent individuals on
exactly.
the left.
What you hear is actually you hear that it was mostly peaceful protesters again and again and again, mostly peaceful protesters. This will not happen here because we don't control media, because the right does not control the media. The left controls the media. And we may not like that. We may not like the rules of engagement, but that's just the way it is. And so, you know, again, to my friend Jack, it's going to be 20 years, not 10, maybe 30. Yeah, go ahead, John.
So, no, it's just some people are asking, Charlie, what do you mean of this divorce? I mean, it's no different than, you know, a divorce like any other. I'm sorry, I just got an email here that I want to pull up here. Somehow there's CNN playing around here somewhere. I don't know where that all is.
I think it's fine. It's not coming through our mic, so it's good.
So a national divorce would be no different than a marital divorce, where you come through and you say, we want to separate. Here are the terms of separation, and that's coming. So some people are just now starting to watch. Let's do a recap. So it started with the roll call. A lot of people are emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. They're like, how on earth did we get here? Andrew, take us through how we got here, and then I'll build out the national divorce argument more.
I mean, what have we been doing? 2 weeks building up to this date, January 6th, where we're counting the electors. Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 2000 called January 6th the date of ultimate significance when it came to selecting the president. So we heard all these dates being thrown out, December 14th, whatever, safe harbor. No, it's January 6th. It's a big day. There was a lot of debate about what the vice president's powers constitutionally are. We found out during the president's speech this morning, he rallied a bunch of people right in front of the White House, hundreds of thousands of people listening to him speak. He was rallying them there. While he was speaking, the vice president issued a statement that said he had searched the Constitution, he had studied history, and decided that he did not have the constitutional power to unilaterally reject or accept votes. His role, in other words, was mostly ceremonial, but he would allow for the objections to be heard in a reasonable manner. So here we are, Alabama, Alaska go by, no contest. We get to Arizona. Again, this is alphabetical order, and this is at a joint session of the House and the Senate. Get to Arizona. Objections were raised by Representative Paul Gosar, who has sat in this very chair that I'm sitting in, actually. He raised an objection, and Vice President Pence, who's the president of the Senate, asked who from the Senate will join him. Up stands Senator Cruz. So we have Cruz, we have Gosar, and we have 60 other members of the House that join Representative Gosar in challenging Arizona's election results and the electors. So we get the standing ovation. The two chambers break in for a two-hour debate. So mm-hmm. We had the House goes to the House, basically stays there because that's where they do the joint session. And then the Senate walked over to the Senate chamber to begin debate. And we heard from Jim Jordan. We heard from Andy Biggs. We heard from Ted Cruz, we heard from, and right when we were hearing from actually Andy Biggs, or no, it was Gosar was speaking. There was an interruption. It looked like certain police officials came in. They stopped the proceedings. The chair stopped the proceedings, and there was some confusion. We were hearing reports of a bomb threat. Mm-hmm. We were also hearing protesters, call them domestic terrorists if you want, rule breakers, law breakers, had stormed and breached the outer perimeter of the Capitol building. There had been apparently three sets of barricades. They had stormed them all, breached them all, and we were starting to get reports of conflict with the Capitol police, pushing, shoving, batons drawn. Then it started getting even more intense. They breached the building itself, and they were, according to Madison Cawthorn, who we just had on, they got into the actual outside the chamber. At that point, they escorted everybody, all of the representatives, out to an undisclosed location. They even made some of them wear hazmat suits because they were trying to disperse the crowds with tear gas. Pretty chaotic situation. A woman has been shot in the chest. That's confusing. Why, if all of these people are supposedly Trump supporters, why are they shooting at each other? That's very unclear. Maybe give some credence to the idea that there are conflicting factions within these people that have stormed the Capitol, potentially even Antifa themselves. A lot of chaos, a lot of confusion. But by and large, there is condemnation for the actions that are happening. A lot of you are emailing us saying that you understand the frustration. We certainly do. I think there is a very valid place for a conversation about where this is bubbling up, where this is coming from. But at the same time, we don't know who these people are. So let's not jump to conclusions. Let's not hyperventilate. This is usually not what the right does. This is what the left does. So we're all, you know, color us all surprised. We wanted to have a constitutional debate about the election results and about the integrity of our elections. Meanwhile, this broke up. So the president, I think it's worth saying, has issued at least three tweets that I've seen condemning the violence and standing in solidarity with the Capitol Police. I think that's where we're at, certainly. Some people are calling for him to get on TV and mm-hmm. do it in person. If that holds symbolic significance, I think that's a fair point. Maybe perhaps he will do that. But it's, yeah, chaos.
So a lot of people are asking freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, what do you mean by national divorce? Look, it would be I'm not saying I support this, but I'm saying that this is not anything that is necessarily unprecedented in civilizational terms, where you have 10 or 12 states that talk that say to the other 30 states, look, we're going to govern ourselves. And it just becomes kind of like a Canada-U.S. relationship where you're not enemies. It's just kind of we're going to do our own tax policy, our own policy on, you know, certain issues. I'm not saying I support it. I think that that would be a great gift to China and a great gift to a lot of what we've been able to do as a beautiful country. But the kind of the ties that, you know, keep us together, they're vanishing very quickly.
Well,
and I could tell you,
violence.
Of course not. I'm denouncing it. I've been doing that for the last couple
yeah,
hours.
Making it
there's a lot of
clear.
People that are emailing me freedom@charliekirk.com that are calling for violence. There's people that have emailed me right now and said that they're getting their weapons and they're going in the streets. I don't support that. We don't support that here, right? And we've said that in a variety of different ways. And so, look, the long and short of it is this, is that the reason this is all happening is because you have to have a country that is unified on shared history. We no longer have that. They say it's founded in 1619 and we're racist, bigoted, homophobic, colonialist that has a shared value system. They now say, ah, men and ah, woman. They've got rid of God and also has a shared culture. They've gotten rid of that as well. When you remove those things, what actually ties you together instead, except maybe a unified currency, right?
Geography.
And so, yeah, the geography is the only thing at that point that then does that. There is a woman in critical condition after being shot in the chest. Per Noah Gray, who said that no other details were provided. Sergeant of Arms says they expect to take about half an hour or so to clear the Capitol. They have the protesters contained to one area, and they're working on getting them out, is what I'm being told. Mike Cernovich has tweeted out, today was the Democrats' 9/11. This crisis won't go to waste. He's right. They are going to use this as an excuse to surveil, to audit, to target every Trump supporter, every single one out there. And so this is where we are. And so and some people are saying, Charlie, they're emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com, that things are not as easy with that potential, national divorce idea. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying that the country's separating and fracturing very quickly. But I actually am of the belief right now that more people are of, agreement to actually want to have constitutional civil ways to actually end our differences than this. And so what are we looking at, Andrew?
I'm just – there's a conversation going on specifically about this guy. So there's an image from somewhere within the Capitol of the
– let's get this up on the screen.
The MAGA Viking here. We'll get this. One second. I'll share this with all of you. So there's a conversation kind of ongoing about the tattoo on this gentleman's hand that looks like a hammer and sickle.
Mm.
So specifically –
well, here's the good news is that I know someone that has facial recognition technology. And let's – the ones that aren't wearing masks, I would like to find out if these are actually Trump supporters. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just seeing multiple people now starting to openly question this. Ann Coulter. She's actually been on the show before. We love Anne. This group, especially the short one, looks like Antifa, and she's showing this image. I have to agree. I gotta avoid judging any book by its cover here, right? A little bit, but I mean, if you're gonna just do a little bit of just this is logic, here. I got to agree with it. Like, these folks kind of do look like Antifa, like in Trump gear. Now, I'm not saying I have any proof. I'm not saying that that's what I think. I'm playing this out. There's a lot of incoming information. We'll see what's ultimately proven out. But these two images side by side, I have to say, I mean, that does look
like a hammer and sickle.
A hammer and sickle.
Well, what we've been talking about, too, is that the pattern of behavior just doesn't line up. There's zero history of this type of behavior that we've seen at any even very large event in favor of the president in the last few years. Meanwhile, even just this week, we saw very extreme behavior at the home of Senator Josh Hawley from Antifa right there in Washington, D.C. So right. I'm hesitant to place blame on Trump supporters, as many people have been doing, all of our blue checkmark friends on social media and on cable news. But, you know, we just don't know. We have to wait. We have to reserve judgment until we know what we don't know.
Justin, Mike Pence has unfollowed Donald Trump on Twitter. Okay. And also, Justin, a pipe bomb has just been found and safely detonated at the Republican National Committee. Yeah. So whomever is doing this is I'm not exactly sure. Someone just emailed us in freedom@charliekirk.com, and they've also supported us at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you. This is a very good point. If you wanted to disrupt the proceedings, what better plan than to cause chaos? I fully believe this is Antifa posing as Trump supporters that started this attack, praying that they are exposed and the truth be known as soon as possible. It seems that is a predominant viewpoint amongst a lot of people we're talking to, that there's something here that isn't right.
Yeah. Right. Something's not adding up. And I think we're all ready to reserve some judgment until we know what is missing here.
Andrew, you're responding to Sean King, which is always a dangerous thing to do on Twitter.
True.
So we're continuing to monitor the situation. It looks like there are people that are outside of the House and the Senate that are just waving flags and that are just kind of watching the situation. And it seems as if there is an additional you see that in the bottom left hand of your screen right there, the hammer and sickle kind of imagery there, which very well might be a leftist infiltration into that. And so
interesting side by side. Who knows? Who knows at this point? I mean, it could be some other symbol. I'm not an expert on far right or far left symbology, but I will tell you that does look like a hammer and sickle.
Could be.
And I'm also seeing reports of some like far right, some white national tattoos. I don't know.
I mean, again, we're not experts on imagery or symbolism or tattoos here, but.
Yeah. So can we get that video that I sent in, Connor? Was there any basis to that of some people that were saying? And so also, can any of you guys tell me when's the last time any Trump supporter ever attacked the police? I mean, they are applauded more than anything else at Trump rallies.
The
I mean, what is?
I've never heard of an instance of that.
Yeah, for the constant rallying cry for law and order, you know, that is and is not something that that we have necessarily ever seen, right?
No.
The heck?
What is that?
Just a tweet from Eric Erickson. Shoot the protesters, waive the rules, impeach, waive the rules, convict, waive the rules, deny the ability to run for election again. I'm not sure what the heck that means, but
Eric Erickson is allegedly a conservative
from Georgia
who has had the he actually hosted the vice president once at one of his events.
Amazing. I don't know where his head's at on that. What I will not stand idly by and put up with is this kind of crap where conservatives essentially feigned, you know, a little bit of being upset at BLM and Antifa, and yet before they even know if it's the right, they rail on it like it's the end of the world because it's much more fun to beat up on conservatives. They get to get in on the game too, I guess. I just it makes me sick. I reject the premise. Listen, are we all condemning violence? Yes. Am I gonna go out of my way to be three times as hard because it's apparently right wing law breaking? And I'm gonna wait for the facts to come in, and I'm gonna condemn the left.
I think a general rule of thumb is I don't support when you start smashing windows at the U.S. Congress.
General rule of thumb, but I'm also not gonna, you know, say, oh, waive the rules, let's shoot these people.
But let me be very clear. You want me to tell you how they could have done this today, and how this would not have been a problem? Two things. If they wanted to do the Martin Luther King doctrine, let's pretend this is not agitators. Let's pretend this is Trump supporters, which I'm not even willing to concede. But let's pretend it is. then they could have done the Martin Luther King thing. They could have blocked a street and all took the arrest. They could have done something that is not necessarily violent but was disruptive. They could have – that's a Martin Luther King playbook, but you take the punishment. You get arrested and you take the punishment. The more in pseudo-insurrectionist way to do it – I hate using that word – is you start physically taking over, smashing windows and causing physical harm, right? If there would have been 100,000 Trump supporters that went into Pennsylvania Avenue and sat down and then would have demanded to be arrested – and they don't hurt anybody, that's called civil disobedience. You have to be willing to be arrested for it, though.
Well, not necessarily. The left has perfected that
No,
maneuver.
I'm saying that's different. This is a completely 100%. Different 100%. Playbook. Yeah. When you start smashing windows and weapons start getting drawn, look, and that's where the left has been able to perfect it in a lot of different ways, right? And so,
well, that line has been blurred at this point.
Of
We've
course.
Seen peaceful protests refer to literally burning down churches and entire cities and smashing windows of shops.
And what do you think would have been more effective, right? Like if all of a sudden they would have done if they would have done a sit-in. By the way, they could have entered Congress. I believe you're usually allowed to enter Congress. Maybe the pandemic rules might have changed it as visitors. And so,
yeah, but not the chamber while it's in session.
I'm not saying the gallery, but they could have easily gone in. You weren't allowed to enter today is what Connor was saying. Okay,
yep.
That makes sense. But they were allowed to enter during all the Kavanaugh stuff. Remember all the interruptions that happened during that? They had to barricade up, which is what it was. The point is this, is that if you're really saying, like, let's go Martin Luther King, let's do all of that, then you need to do something. And the doctrine of civil disobedience written by either Thoreau or Emerson, one of the two, you must choose something that does not harm another person. That is part of the doctrine of civil disobedience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you must be willing to accept the punishment. Those are the two big things. And so the Antifa were the ones that likely broke the windows. Or whomever that was. That is not a Trump-style tactic. But if 10,000 Trump supporters were like, you know what? We are going to sit in the street and we're going to delay traffic, but you are going to have to arrest us. That's under the doctrine of Martin Luther King civil disobedience,
absolutely.
Right? Okay. I just want to make that very
clear.
Well,
you could further play that out. I mean, the right is now the inheritors of Martin Luther King's legacy. It used to be all Americans.
It's true.
But the left tried to claim it, but then the left progressed beyond the value system of Martin Luther King and stopped caring about his famous speech that says, I don't want my children to be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their mm-hmm. character. The left abandoned that value, and really it's become the right's mantle. So if you're on the left and you're listening to me say that and you're scoffing,
it's true.
Prove me wrong. Prove
and
me wrong.
It's fitting that we're about to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day here in a couple of days as well. It's a
right,
really
but I'm saying, so some of the people are saying, well, Charlie, what were we supposed to do with all this injustice? Just follow the playbook. Is it Emerson or Thoreau? I get them too. They're both transcendentalists, but I think it was Thoreau who wrote on civil disobedience. And he was the first one. He heavily inspired Martin Luther King in it, which is, again, there's ways that you can civilly disobey. It was Thoreau? Yeah, it was Henry David Thoreau who wrote it. And again, the two big things are you must not hurt anyone else or destroy other people's property, right, while you do it.
Right.
And you also lose – the other part of civil disobedience, what people don't understand, is you lose credibility. And people are saying, thumbs down, Charlie. You're a fake patriot. Okay. Enjoy prison. it's so unbelievable.
Well, and I mean, look at this.
It's like basically what you're saying is you want full-out civil war is what you're saying.
No, and this is what the Lincoln Project is trying to do, a bunch of shills over at the Lincoln Project. If you want to do something to pass the time today, why don't you, brigade their comment section and just – tell them how awful they are. The Lincoln Project, they've got a picture of Senator Hawley from earlier in the morning when it was peaceful protesting, saying, hey, here I am. And so Lincoln Project goes, look at this picture. Make no mistake about it. This is exactly what Hawley, M.O., at Hawley M.O., wanted to happen today. I mean,
unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. The Lincoln Project, they should... Okay, so if you're going to kick off conservatives, I don't want anybody kicked off of social media. I'm an absolutist, free speech absolutist. But hey, if you're going to do it, why don't you put them on the chopping
block? Yeah. So for the people that are peacefully now outside of Congress and they're being asked to leave, you want to know what you could do? You sit down and you make them arrest you. That's it. You don't smash buildings. That's civil disobedience. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying all of a sudden when you start to physically put yourself into a building and you put other people's potentially lives at danger, that's really big. That's big. Okay, so people are saying they found evidence of Antifa signs. Continue to email us what you're seeing, what you're hearing, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And there's a lot of footage coming. Let's try to get some other tapes here as we have them. There's a photo of this guy who took Nancy Pelosi's podium. He stormed the Capitol building, and all he got was that podium. So
it's going to be hard to hide that on the way out.
That is probably against the law. Okay, let's play this one right here of these people that are on scaffolding outside the U.S. Senate banging on windows. Let's play this tape right here. Do we have that one? It's in the chat, Connor, if we can get that one queued up right there. So the general chatter and what a lot of you are saying, freedom@charliekirk.com, emailing us, is that this feels as if this was a psyops operation from the left. And so this is what Carlos says. Radical times require radical measures. But, of course, you need real men and women, not just spoken armchair radio podcast talk hosts. You failed the test, Charlie. Okay, Carlos. So because you're calling for a civil war, tell me specifically what that looks like, what you're willing to do, and what and kind of the sacrifices that you're willing to make and how success looks at there. Again, I understand that frustrations are high, but I feel a moral obligation every time one of these things pops up to cross-examine and just talk down this kind of nonsense that happens. It's just not right. What are we seeing, Andrew?
Well, I mean, I just it looks like it's a fact that Mike Pence has unfollowed Donald Trump on Twitter.
Has that happened?
I'm seeing it from multiple sources. Yeah, which is a pretty telling. Pretty telling of how the day has unfolded. I'm also hearing reports that the president is refusing to issue a stronger statement or another statement. He's issued multiple, and to be fair, he's called for peace and he's supported the Capitol Police. So I guess certain aides are asking him to issue a stronger statement, and he's saying he's not going to do it. So that's an interesting angle as well. I think there's a fair bit of frustration on the part of the president towards the vice president. It sounds like there's tension there. So that's an interesting development.
Joe Biden is going to be talking in a minute here, and he will use this as justification to increase the police state surveillance if he becomes president of the United States. And that is what is going to happen. So,
yeah, it looks like Joe Biden is addressing Capitol riots
right now. Can we get a feed for that, please?
He's saying, at this hour, our democracy is under unprecedented assault.
Let's cut to that.
To fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution and demand an end to this siege, to storm the Capitol, to smash windows, to occupy offices, the floor of the United States Senate, rummaging through desks, on the Capitol, on the House of Representatives, threatening the safety of duly elected officials. It's not protest. It's insurrection. The world's watching. Like so many other Americans, I am genuinely shocked and saddened that our nation, so long the beacon of light and hope for democracy, has come to such a dark moment. Through war and strife, America's endured much, and we will endure here, and we will prevail again, and we'll prevail now. The work of the moment and the work of the next 4 years must be the restoration of democracy, of decency, honor, respect, the rule of law, just plain, simple decency. The renewal of a politics that's about solving problems, looking out for one another, not stoking the flames of hate and chaos. As I said, America's about honor, decency, respect, tolerance. That's who we are. That's who we've always been. The certification of the Electoral College vote is supposed to be a sacred ritual, which we affirm. The purpose is to affirm the majesty of American democracy. But today's a reminder, a painful one, that democracy is fragile. And to preserve it requires people of goodwill, leaders have the courage to stand up, who are devoted not to the pursuit of power, but or the personal interest pursuits of their own selfish interest at any cost, but of the common good. Think what our children watching television is thinking. Think what the rest of the world is looking at. For nearly 2.5 centuries, we, the people, in search of a more perfect union, have kept our eyes on that common good. America is so much better than what we've seen today. Watching the scenes from the Capitol, I was reminded, as I prepared other speeches in the past, I was reminded of the words of Abraham Lincoln in his annual message to Congress, whose work has today been interrupted by chaos. Here's what Lincoln said. He said, "We shall nobly save or merely lose the last best hope on earth." Went on to say, "The way is plain, peaceful, generous, just. A way which, if followed, the world will forever applaud and God must forever bless. The way is plain here, too. That's who we are. It's the way of democracy, of respect, of decency, of honor, and commitment as patriots to this nation. Notwithstanding what I saw today and we're seeing today, I remain optimistic about the incredible opportunities. There has never been anything we can't do when we do it together. And this God-awful display today is bringing home to every Republican and Democrat and independent in the nation that we must step up. This is the United States of America. There's never, ever, 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 ever been a thing we've tried to do that we've done it together. We've not been able to do it. So, President Trump, step up. May God bless America. And may God protect our troops and all those folks at the Capitol who are trying to preserve order. Thank you, and I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
All right. Looks like we're back on. Okay. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't mean to be Charlie will be joining us just one second. I don't mean to be flip, but I can't stand listening to the guy talk on a teleprompter. I honestly didn't hear anything worth listening to. You know, again, where were you, Joe? Where were these speeches when BLM and Antifa were literally terrorizing our streets all summer and into the fall and lighting fire to a federal courthouse night after night after night after night? So spare me your Pollyannish disappointment at Trump and Trump supporters. Listen, we're all disappointed in what we're seeing here. But I was disappointed when our country was engulfed in violence all over the summer. So I don't mean to be I know we're gonna get accused of whataboutism and all of this. I can't stand it. Isabel, what's your take?
I think it just speaks to this very clear double standard we've created culturally in 2020, now moving into 2021. We're completely okay with people literally burning down cities, shooting people they disagree with in the street because they happen to wear a certain hat. Nobody blinks an eye. You don't hear any condemnation from people in the media,
politics. Did you hear the one question? Welcome back, Charlie. Did you hear the one question that they shouted at the vice president who's walking away? Will charges be filed again?
Of course they will, as they should be, because everyone should be held accountable. But you better bet they're going to be very significant charges. It's not going to be what we saw with parking tickets with these BLM riots.
So it's going to be very interesting to see whether or not the certification process moves forward today, how that's going to happen.
I heard reports that the Senate was going to be reconvening in a separate location. We haven't seen if that's true yet, but
in the meantime, things have been really crazy today. There's been at least one person shot within the Capitol building today. Things seem to be dissipating a bit. We're hearing reports of some of these larger crowds starting to be weeded out by Capitol Police and the National Guard there in Washington, D.C. But I think until any of that clears out, it's pretty unlikely we'll be hearing from the House or the Senate today.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll see. I am texting with a lot of people and trying to figure out exactly what's happening here. And so you guys can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com as we come in here. And I do want to get our America's pastor here, Rob McCoy, who can, I think, give us a good message here. Andrew, you've been going for about 5.5 hours now.
I don't know. What time is it? Yeah, I'll gladly give my seat up for Rob. So
yeah, we could sub you in and out. And
I will.
Let's play some tape here, too. I think we have some tape here, again, of kind of – do we have the scaffolding tape queued up, Connor? I think we – okay. Of what's happening there. The crowd in the Capitol seems to be dissipating a little bit, and – let's all welcome Pastor Rob McCoy here. How are we doing, Rob?
I'm doing all right.
So just some good fresh blood into here. And so, Rob, what do you make of all this?
Well, I was listening to Vice President Biden, and he invoked Lincoln. And what's fascinating to me is this week, 158 years ago this week, the Emancipation Proclamation was established by Lincoln, declaring that all persons would be free in the South. And then last night, we watch as Georgia in the South elects two senators who declare that a child in the womb is not a person. Yeah. We're going backwards. And God's not going to look at a nation that aborts 1 million babies a year, and 40% of those are black children. I mean, that is a Holocaust on the black community. Their birth rate is flatlined. And now the vice president invokes Lincoln, and here we are watching the Capitol after elections being stolen and spurious activity. The American people are frustrated. Their counselors, which is the First Amendment, we mm-hmm. the people are the sovereign in the nation, and our founders gave us counselors with the First Amendment, the pulpits, the press, the freedom of speech. All that's being stifled. Now, who were the players in this nefarious action on the Capitol? We don't know. We have no idea. But we do know this, that the nation is in turmoil. And so if Vice President Biden invokes Lincoln, I shall do the same. This was his first inaugural address. He was despised. The nation, before he'd even stepped into office, states had seceded from the Union. And he said on the inaugural address, the first one, he said, "We're not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained it, we must not break our bonds of affection, the mystic cords of memory stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature." Charlie, you said, fascinatingly enough, and Isabel, as I've been watching you guys, you're covering this wisely. And Charlie, you said we have a split history with the 1619 Project, and mm-hmm. watching as we no longer have a shared history.
And I want to get to that, Rob.
Go ahead.
I just want to get what the president has given some remarks. Let's hear what he has to say really quick. Sorry, Rob.
No worries.
Let's play tape.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us. From me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election. But we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
Go home and go home in peace. Sorry, Rob. I just wanted to play that.
That's the president.
Right. Yeah. So we just wanted to play that as it happens.
Wow.
So you were chatting about Lincoln.
Lincoln. And I would also add with the president, Mr. President, peace is not the absence of conflict. Mm-hmm. But I understand what he's asking for. This violence right now and the confusion. But I'm going to my point was invoking the first inaugural address, watching as Vice President Biden invoking the words of Lincoln. Lincoln gets to his second inaugural address. He didn't have any hope of winning a second term. And it wasn't until Sherman had split the South and gotten down to Georgia. And when he did the Emancipation Proclamation, January of 1863, by July of 1863, you had Gettysburg. And he just kept getting the rolls of all the dead. 2% of our nation's population died on a field of battle, 650,000. To end the misery of slavery, 4 million slaves in 1860, he gets to the second inaugural address that he thought he'd never give, and he speaks to the nation, and he says, on the occasion corresponding to this 4 years ago, all thoughts were anxiously directed to an impending civil war. All dreaded it. All sought to avert it. While the inaugural address was being delivered from this place, devoted altogether to saving the Union without war, insurgent agents were in the city seeking to destroy it without war, seeking to dissolve the Union and divide effects by negotiation. Both parties deprecated war, but one of them would make war rather than let the nation survive, and the other would accept war rather than let it perish, and war came. Charlie, you're getting beat up on both sides.
Well, just by – I mean, I generally it's supportive. It's just some people are calling me for a civil war.
I understand. As a minister – and listen, I do not condone the theft. I do not condone the what's occurred in this nation and how they have destroyed so many aspects of our republic, our constitutional republic. And I'm in California facing this, and I'm in the middle of lawsuits as they are violating the First Amendment brutally. But I still hold to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious in nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Calm down. You know, we need to sort this out. There's a time for everything. And everyone wants to take up arms. Not everyone. I'm saying those who are anxious about it. Make sure that you have assessed everything. We don't even know who's invaded the Capitol. We don't know what's going on. And all the words I'm getting is that this is odd.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, I would just encourage America. God has greater purposes. We wanted this all to end last night with the opportunity of at least holding the Senate. It didn't.
Yeah, and just got called. Ossoff just called the winner. Yeah.
And you look at that and you're struggling because you look at Dominion and all these other things and whatever that is. But none of this caught God by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying, oh, how the heck did that happen? And there's purposes to the Almighty. Lincoln understood that. I think we need to realize that America will be great when America's good, and when America ceases to be good, it'll cease to be great. And right now, we have to introspectively look at our lives and look at this nation. You can't abort a million babies a year when these inalienable rights begin with the very first one, life. Then liberty, then the pursuit of happiness, because liberty and happiness are scarce little value without life. America must reevaluate. You've got Christian worship leaders with this now senator-elect who declares himself a pastor when Jesus says, I've come that they might have life, and he declares the death of a child in the womb as acceptable to God.
Raphael Warnock, yeah.
And you have Lecrae leading a concert as a Christian worship leader. We got this really backwards, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is under attack and everything's – but God has his purposes. You don't fix a nation with light and transient issues. You have to really realize God rules in the affairs of men and especially nations, and he's not going to stand idly by. We have to really examine our lives and what's important. And does this republic matter? Because only immoral people can govern a republic. I'm not calling for dominionism. I'm not calling for a theocracy. I'm calling for us to really reflect in our lives to a nation that was conceived in liberty by declaring that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator. We didn't decide what denomination, but we recognize that every person is accountable to God. And when we abandon that, we're in trouble.
Yeah, amen.
America, wake up.
So we're still trying to make sense of what Vice President Pence will do once this reconvenes. We're hearing mixed reports, but it looks like he is not going to use the plenary power that has been trusted in him to either send it back to the state legislators or not count the votes from the states. So this entire kind of process has been delayed, to say the least, and kind of put into uncertainty. What's your take on the entire kind of Mike Pence thing?
Well, first of all, it seemed as though he was signaling. And as I heard him speak at SAS, I thought, well, you know, maybe he is going to stand. And then, you know, when given an opportunity to do the right thing and you do the easy thing, that's not the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've disenfranchised 74 million voters who haven't had a chance to allow the evidence to be seen. These lawsuits haven't been kicked out by lack of evidence. No one's wanted to take them up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now 74 million people won't be heard. And you're taking the easy route out and you're using the absence of history. Well, thank God there's an absence of case study that this nation has survived for, 244 years, although the election of 1876 was tragic. And that's where we are. Mm-hmm. We're revisiting this. But I was expecting more from Vice President Pence.
And he hasn't acted yet, but he's signaling.
He's signaling.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Madison Cawthorn, he has a titanium spine.
Literally.
Because of the accident.
Yeah.
I think
he was going senator to senator last night trying to persuade them.
Yeah.
And he was just requesting meetings, going through.
It's one thing to stand up in front of an audience of over 1,000 students.
And make a promise.
And make a promise. And then take the convenient way out. Vice President Pence, I've prayed with you. I've been in your presence. I've voted for you. I've encouraged you. I have stood in support. And right now, the country needs you to do the right thing. Give 74 million people in this nation the opportunity to be heard. Otherwise, this vote will never again count. And you have to do the right thing. And I would just ask you, please. And he's the one who has to put his head on the pillow at night.
So a lot of people are asking us, they're emailing us. You guys can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. What exactly did Pence decide to do or not do? Isabel, can you walk us through that? Because still very early, we only got to Arizona before all this bedlam broke out.
I know.
So we don't know necessarily one way or another.
It's going to be a long night.
What Vice President Mike Pence's path forward looks like. I think we have to reconvene and get back together into this process in order to find out where we go from here. Essentially, what's happening is in this joint session that is mandated on January 6th, the House of Representatives and the Senate of our Congress has convened to make sure that the votes for the Electoral College can be certified. That all is laid out in the 12th Amendment through our process of electing a new president and vice president of the United States. We go state by state in alphabetical order, and we made it three states deep before pandemonium really broke loose and chaos ensued there at the United States Capitol with some of these protests and pretty unexpected behavior that we were not anticipating. Essentially, what happens is one member of Congress and one member of the Senate have to object simultaneously to the Electoral College results state by state if they believe that there was some sort of fraudulent behavior, if it's not actually certified, or went against the United States Constitution, as we've heard a lot about in states like Pennsylvania, not going through the state legislature and instead going through some sort of executive power in the governor's office. Should both houses agree that some sort of fraudulent behavior took place, there are basically two directions that the vice president can use moving forward. Either he can invalidate that entire slate of votes from a particular state, or he can send it back to the state legislatures to be recertified and sort of redebated in that space. Again, we don't know which way the vice president is leaning. We can assume that he's leaning towards not sending anything back towards the state legislatures or invalidating any votes based on a statement he made this morning. But again, really anything could happen after the events of the last few hours.
Yeah, and so there's a Mike Pence has said he does not have the power vested in him as vice president to do anything but just kind of be a master of ceremonies. And it's not what precedent tells us. Richard Nixon in 1960 did decide to count votes separately from what a state certification said. And also he could send it down to the state legislatures, yeah, which is the direct ask of the president.
And name another time in American history where we've been in a place like this, where it would require the vice president to be more than just a ceremonial hood ornament. Do your job.
I think, unfortunately, so many of our leaders are operating out of a sense of fear in,
yep,
the last few years, especially. That's why you saw so many of these cases not be taken up through the court system in the proper venue that they should have been. It's why you're seeing people fail to act in times of necessity. And I think, unfortunately, we've let the left get away with so much in creating this culture of fear where we feel like we can't say what we believe in, we can't act on our convictions, we can't worship the God that we worship.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, this idea of self-censorship has extended to our actions beyond the things that we do or do not say into things that we do or do not do at the end of the day, and that's really disappointing to me to see.
So a lot of people are emailing us about Mike Pence, and they're saying, you know, he has a family, he has maybe a political future. Rob, can you help unpack this a little bit? Some people are asking about his faith. I mean, would it be the Christian thing to do this? Can you help unpack this? Because, I mean, all eyes on Mike Pence,
yeah,
right?
So in a pluralistic society, in a constitutional republic, when you're elected to office, now Mike Pence has put his faith out there. He declares himself a Christian.
And he's a friend of mine and yours.
And he's a friend – well, I don't know him like you know him, but I have prayed with him. I have met him on a number of occasions. And he has declared himself to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. He has declared himself to be pro-life. He has declared himself to be a defender of free speech, a defender of religious liberty. And now we're coming to a place where America's been stifled, an election's been stolen, and nobody has a voice. So free speech, and trust me, I'm already under the gun in California. Mm-hmm. The First Amendment, the freedom of religion, we're getting pummeled out there. We're in a lawsuit. I'm getting fined every single week that the church is open. So, Mr. Vice President, you declare that, and it's one thing to declare with your mouth, but if your actions do not match your words, faith without works is dead. And I'm not questioning your Christianity in that sense, but this is the time for all good men to act. And politicians, because I know this, I was an elected official. I sat on the city council. I was the mayor of the city of Thousand Oaks. I was the mayor pro tem of the city of Thousand Oaks. And I know that politicians seek the path of least resistance. They're like twigs on the banks of a mighty river. They just want to go with the flow. But right now, your nation's calling on you. You govern by our consent. And you're bound by the seven articles of the Constitution, and our First Amendment's been violated. The seven articles of the Constitution, you have been given this mantle to act in a manner worthy of the sovereign of this nation, we the people. And if that voice is taken and you violate the religious protections, you violate the free speech protections, you violate our ability to vote in a manner where we would trust that. 74 million people feel just cheated. And I would just say, if that is not defended from your position and you have that ability given by our founders, it's unconscionable from my estimation. I don't get it.
So I hold that position. There is mounting evidence to show that Antifa very well might have been behind this. And so we are compiling that in real time.
Yeah.
Isabel, what are we – we're still trying to confirm some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. United States.
We're still trying to confirm that.
We're still trying to confirm that. It has not been confirmed on our end yet, but it does speak to what we've been saying earlier, that we generally do not know who these people are. A handful may be, you know, anarchists. A handful may
we have
be
a number
left.
Of
left. We don't know. So we have to be waiting until we get some sort of confirmation from that to make any sort of determinative statement.
We have a number of congregants that are there, and kind of man on the street. Pastor Rick Brown's there. And the folks we're hearing from saying this had nothing to do with the folks they were with. So
right.
they're shocked by it.
Well, it certainly doesn't follow the pattern of behavior, though.
No, I like the way you assess that. That was great.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, you know, the Antifa wasn't out there in the streets at all.
No, they weren't anywhere to be found.
Which is eyebrow-raising.
Well, and it's almost like they signaled ahead. They telegraphed it because you had the mayor saying, we're going to need the National
right.
Guard. Like, we're expecting this, and we're going to show.
Said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Was that correct? Yeah.
So let's. I want to play again for those people that are just coming on the stream. And we're getting lots of questions here. I want to take some of these. freedom@charliekirk.com. U.S. President Donald Trump's message to the violence, at least the barricades and the windows that were broken into. Outside of that, I don't think we saw – I'm trying to just catalog all the violence and be very specific because there were a lot of people that just seemed like they were following the crowd and followed it. But there were people that were, bashing windows and all that nonsense. So I just want to make sure we're specific, with exactly what happened here. Can we play President Trump's message again?
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace.
Some people are, and that's the president's message, they're complimenting you on your message, and they're saying that the vice president should be shown your message. So that's a good compliment to you. So,
well, if I operated based on compliments of others, I wouldn't have gotten very far in life. But thank you. I wanted to say thank you, but I
wanted to make sure I played the president's message because currently Twitter is blocking that message. So from getting out there completely. A lot of people are just tuning in. There's a lot of confusion out there. It looks as if a couple dozen people, agitators, who we do not know, could be on the left. They could be just people that like to see, things burn, went into Congress and started to bash barricades and stormed in against the wishes of law enforcement. This resulted in a confrontation with firearms and guns being drawn. We know of two people being shot with rubber bullets. I don't think they were shot with lethal bullets, hopefully not. And this was all after the objection of just the state of Arizona. We were covering that, and then this entire thing kind of went into total and complete bedlam.
Yeah.
And so we are waiting to see if Congress will reconvene. Some people are saying they were real bullets. Were they real bullets or rubber bullets? I've seen conflicting, information on that. We know one person was shot in the neck, but we're not exactly sure exactly what's there. And so breaking right now, two pipe bombs have been found, one at a building that houses the RNC offices and one in the U.S. Capitol complex. And so that is something we're covering very quickly. I want to thank those of you that have been supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Our promise to you is to do more coverage and more commentary than any other program out there. So I want to thank some of you that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Colleen, thank you. Courtney from Indiana, thank you. Cynthia from California, thank you. Pat from Massachusetts, thank you. Denny from New York, thank you. Jean from Washington, thank you. And Molly from Ohio, thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Isabel, what are we looking at?
So far, I'm seeing lots of chatter about articles of impeachment being drawn up for President Trump, that it's the only way to curb potential violence, according to the left, that he could not run for president again in the future. It's an interesting take for sure. We're hearing a lot about some ongoing violence here at the Capitol. People are using metal barricades to try to break open Capitol doors as of about 8 minutes
Let's
ago.
Let's get that footage sent in there. It seems as if that the some people are – the numbers are minimizing, but some of the intensity seems to be increasing on the inside.
And again, we don't know who these actors are. You can't judge what someone is
swearing in these situations as a complete indicator of their beliefs, how they voted, who they're representing. So we are anxiously awaiting any opportunity to verify who these individuals are, but won't be making any sort of determinative statement until that time.
Externally in the Capitol, it seems as though the crowds are rapidly dissipating.
Yeah. That seems as if that is it. Can we play this tape here, please? That is definitely not peaceful. And so I'm going to read a tweet here just to use the left's own book of rules against them from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The whole point of protest, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain, protest demands make others uncomfortable. That's the point. But of course, now that there is people on the other side doing what the left has done, which I don't necessarily support, then we start to see not a lot of, you know, a lot of denunciation and calls for arrest. In fact, a congresswoman has just called for the FBI to arrest all these people, which we have predicted. Can we get that next tape up, please, of people that are barring the doors here. So, and Ilhan Omar has said, quote, she is drawing up articles of impeachment tonight, says Trump should be removed from office. Like, that is not a surprise. Maybe she should
Shocking.
Be the one that's impeached for all of her, let's say, misdeeds. Okay, here we are.
Still trying to block them from coming in as alarms sound outside the Capitol building.
So, Rob, you have a piece of thought on that?
Yeah, I've been to Trump rallies. I've never seen the flag desecrated like that. It just seems just odd. We have no idea, but everything I'm watching just doesn't add up.
Look,
it's bizarre to me.
Look, there are some people that, quite honestly, sometimes just want to see chaos.
Yeah,
and they don't necessarily align with any sort of ideology, and just put on the uniform of whatever might align with whatever demonstration
right.
that is.
Right. I'm getting folks, not a lot, but a handful that saying, we got to go to arms. And
why don't you talk about that, Rob? You're a pastor. You're a patriot. You're a conservative. I'm getting emails every other minute at freedom@charliekirk.com. More that don't agree with this, but some people that are saying they're rolling.
Well, as a Christian, I would say, take the cue from the Lord. The measure of a man is based on the power he possesses that he doesn't use. Remember, it wasn't nails that held Christ to the cross. He was God. Nails don't hold God to a cross. It was his love. And that's why there's a patience. And why he declares, be anxious and nothing. You want to go straight to arms. You want to fight. You want to shoot something. You want to go straight to that direction. Well, you live by the sword, you're going to die by that sword. He admonished Peter. And granted, there will be times where you're going to be required. Jesus had nothing but positive things to say about the Roman centurions. They were men under authority. What authority are you under? You want to declare yourself as we the people. And yet, did you agitate and force to this extent? our responsibility is to do everything within our power in a constitutional republic to save the union and to preserve the union. Now, if we're cheated and violence is perpetrated on us and we're put in jail, I just think of the greatest movements in the nation have always been through peaceful protest. But you've got a gun in your hand. You worship the Second Amendment. Well, don't forget about the First. And don't forget about the fact that we're endowed by our Creator and we're accountable to that Creator. And so only a moral people can preserve a republic.
One person asked me, they say, from a Judeo-Christian worldview, when something is stolen from you, what is the rightful mean to fight back? That's where a lot of people feel right now. People say, it was stolen from me. Now my recourse, my smashing of windows, my storming of Congress is warranted because my vote was stolen.
Okay. You rise and fall before one master. I'll tell you this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as a minister, participated in a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler. I mean, you just can't process that. And yet...
He didn't do that lightly.
He didn't do it lightly. But it seems like the minute something is taken from you, you have a call to arms. Did you show that same passion in walking precincts and making phone calls and contributing to campaigns and going to church and educating yourself and your congregations? Did you show the same concern for all the churches that have been shuttered and closed? Or is it just now you have this power because you have been shopping and buying all your tactical gear and you want to go to arms? Calm down. Calm down. You rise and fall before one master, but if you're asking from a Judeo-Christian perspective, be anxious and nothing. And you're going to need wisdom on this one. So,
and yeah, some people are – and here's another good question, Rob. And again, this we're just going to walk through this. A lot of people are emailing this.
I didn't sign up to be the Bible answer man. So.
No, it's not necessarily the Bible. You're a calming voice and you add a lot of wisdom, and so which is very good. And so they're already drafting up that this was a domestic terror attack, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's the typical stuff. And the FBI, of course, is heavily, heavily involved in all this. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Okay, so I just got asked by our team, should we throw to the Washington, D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser?
Mm.
No. So I'd rather listen to Rob.
Well, thank God.
Yeah, seriously. So – the question that people say is, well, Charlie, why not – didn't the founders do an armed revolution? It's time.
They did.
Didn't our – you know, some of our ancestors fight in a civil war. It's time. Why is it not time? Why is that argument wrong right now?
There's – if you look at the Declaration of Independence and the patience that they exerted, there were some that wanted to start sooner. There were others that – and you had the Boston Massacre, and you had the Boston Tea Party. You had folks that were patient. They were long-suffering. Not for light and transient causes. And they listed those. So you want to do a Declaration of Independence. You want to do a revolution. You want to go against as the Continental Forces did against the greatest nation on the face of the earth and who possess the military and all the might. And they've been – ready for this. Well, if you're going to if you're going to appeal to heaven as our founders did, and you're going to invoke the Lord four times in the Declaration of Independence like our founders did, and you're going to pledge your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honor like our founders did, you can't do it for light and transient causes because nobody's going to back you. 1 in 9 Americans fought in the Revolutionary War. You got to list those causes. You got to list the reasons why you're rebelling. You've got to appeal to heaven and, just because you got your tactical gear and you've been dreaming of this day, you wanted to move to Montana and get your chain link fence and your canned goods, that's not the way to run it. A republic is participatory. It's of the people, by the people, and for the people. When we abdicated our responsibility in that public square, and now we're watching it disintegrate because the churches never saw themselves as the ecclesia engaging in the public square to establish moral principles that would allow us to live in a manner that is liberty, equality, morality brings liberty, virtue. It's the triangle freedom, faith, virtue, freedom, faith, virtue, and freedom. We abandoned that. And now we're struggling. I would just say to folks, not for light and transient causes. Be patient. You can always go that direction. But once you go to that direction, there's no turning back.
Well, that's the, so look, people say, well, then what is the line? Well, look, I'll be very honest with you. We have showed that with participatory government, you can have differences in government governance. Look at Florida versus California. It's a free state that respects First Amendment rights and has fair and free elections. The other thing is this, which is do not take the don't use that language lightly at all. There is a ton of suffering that happens once that begins. It's fun to throw around like I got my gear on and all that. No, like be very careful with that. And some people are emailing us and they're saying, well, you know, people are saying that, you know, how do you know when that moment comes of that kind of tyranny? And that's a very fair question. It's a very good question. It shouldn't be taken lightly. And I will say this, that we are on the road currently in our country right now to, you know, societal dissolution. And anyone who doesn't look at that is just not looking at it, you know, fairly. However, I currently believe that there are still enough decent people, that the people are with us and the left is seceding from us. We're not seceding from them. I truly believe that they're trying to secede from our country. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Decades ago, my grandfather fought in World War II to prevent this kind of language from happening. I am going to, every step of the way, denounce and exhaust every peaceable option imaginable to persuade. And, you know, if I fail and if I fall flat on my face, then so be it.
Yeah.
But once that begins, I'm telling you right now, it's a dark – that is something that is not good.
Charlie, I'm sorry.
Shot by Capitol Hill police.
And that wasn't a rubber bullet.
The rubber bullet would not kill her, so that was a real bullet.
There was video footage of the event.
Of the shooting?
Pretty viral on Twitter.
Can we I don't know if YouTube will take down our stream. So people are saying that I'm gutless, and then how would the founding fathers handle this? Let me say one thing. You do know that the founders appealed for 15 to 20 years peacefully, trying to remedy their differences before Lexington and Concord in 74 or in 1776. That there was an entire very long history of all this. And people say, and if you really, really – if you're really using words like revolution and civil war at this moment, which a lot of people are, and I feel the need to address this directly,
yeah,
then I will be very honest. A lot of you do not realize the sort of carnage that comes after that. You don't.
You figure 650,000 soldiers died on a field of battle in a civil war that represented 2% of the nation's population at the time, with 33 million people. Now we're at 330 million, 360 million? 330 million. Okay, so you multiply that. So you're looking at 6.5 million Americans dead. That's what you're striving for. And in addition, any donkey can knock down a barn door. Let's do it better. Any jackass can knock down a barn door. Only a carpenter can build one. So every nation is going to revolt. Revolutionaries, they're really good at knocking down barn doors.
Well,
so
just
you
look at the French. They have a revolution every other month.
So
that's
easy. You got a gun. Oh, and you got your tactical gear. And you want to go knock down the barn door. But the question is, what are you going to build when you're done? Because revolutionaries know how to bring down governments. They just don't know how to build them. To what purpose?
Point.
So appealing to heaven and being patient and long-suffering is what we're calling for right now. Look, I'm the first to tell you that my civil rights have been violated. My inalienable rights have been violated. That of my congregations. It's cost me. It's come at a great price. And I'm calling for calm. I'm calling for patience. I'm calling that you not be anxious, because that's what the scriptures declare. And as Charlie pointed out, historically speaking, before the Revolutionary War, they appealed to a despotic king over and over and over again. So,
and they went into the declaration prayerfully. They went into it very carefully. And as soon as they signed that, they knew it was done. So look, it's easy to be a, you know, keyboard warrior – kind of on your couch, but maybe people are really willing to sacrifice. Maybe you are. Maybe I don't want to imply that. But But I'm telling you right now, are you willing to lose your friends and your family? That's what they were willing to do when they signed that document. And I'm of the belief
But that they were willing to do it because they had something they were willing to fight for. I'm sorry.
And to build up.
Yeah, to build up.
And to try to create for something new. And so look, if you want to remedy your different, this is a very important point. If you want to remedy differences through physical altercation, a law of nature is typically it doesn't end well. Just typically. That's just a general law.
Don't be a jackass, be a carpenter.
Yeah, and what and we still do we still do have
which is a moron.
Yeah, exactly. A woman. We still do have many mechanisms in our country that have and that's why I was such a big believer in Mike Pence using those mechanisms to prevent nonsense from this. You want more of this nonsense? Don't stand and fight. And it's very important that we lay responsibility
That's why Vice President Pence is that release valve.
He's the pressure release valve for all of this.
We're calling on him. He has a great responsibility.
So I want to warn you, this is incredibly graphic. I hope YouTube doesn't take down our stream for this. But this is a woman getting shot. Is that right?
Yeah. From what I can tell, we showed a photo earlier in this live stream of guns being pointed through the window inside one of the chambers in the Capitol building. That's what I'm guessing this bullet is coming from, is that scene that we saw earlier today. But yeah, let's go ahead and show you.
And before I say, this is just a tragedy. And whoever, if she was a leader or led this woman into this, there's going to be a lot of criminal investigations into this now that this has happened. This is, you know, this is not not good. Play tape.
Get her down! Flashlight!
So, for those of you calling for civil war, that's what you're calling for, just so we're clear. Mm. You're calling for a lot more body bags. If that's hard to watch, which it is, and you thought, and now someone's dead because someone stormed the Capitol. I'm glad we showed that video for that reason, because it's hard to watch. You saw someone die. And did it get you what you wanted? No, it actually probably brought your cause back even further than you can imagine. You know why? The FBI and the DOJ are now going to have unchecked power to use terrorist provisions of the Patriot Act to now go after every single Trump supporter in the country. That's what today did. Is now the FBI is not going to have to go through a FISA court or anything of that and do that. Rob, do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, the weaponization of government against the sovereign, we the people. And if they continue to overstep, I stepped down from office because the governor of the state of California was violating the Constitution he swore to defend. And when I took that oath of office, I took it seriously. I'm constrained as an elected official by those 7 articles of the Constitution, those 27 amendments. And when that governor violated that, I could not in good conscience serve on that council and then have them censure me continually. And I would just say if government continues in that route and if they weaponize government to that extent and there's no release valve for we the people, they're pushing Americans towards that place they don't want. And I would encourage those in elected office that swore to defend that Constitution, including the Capitol Police and every law enforcement official, back away. You swore to defend that Constitution. You're bound by it. And how can you defend something you don't know anything about?
That's right.
I would ask every law enforcement official and every elected official out there, anyone in a military who is sworn to defend that Constitution, I would ask you to revisit it. And I would ask you to look at those 7 articles and then reread the 27 amendments and realize that you govern by the consent of the sovereign, we the people. And start to realize that, especially for law enforcement and military personnel, you're sheepdogs. You're natural predators. And sheep, you don't hurt us, but the minute you start to hurt the sheep, you're no longer a sheepdog. You're a predator. But you have to be under constraint by the master. And the master is the one that's given you, as it says in Romans 13, that you are a minister of justice to execute wrath on those who would do evil. But we carry the sword, and we don't carry it in vain. That's the Second Amendment. And in Romans 13, we the people are the authority. And by consent, we've allowed you to govern. Don't screw it up. Go back, revisit that Constitution. Everybody wake up, because if we're going to defend a republic, we need to know what we're defending. Don't be a jackass. Don't knock down the barn door. Be a carpenter. Revisit that. Start to rebuild this republic.
Isabel, do you have an update you want to share?
I do have another update from D.C. Congresswoman Cori Bush, who is from the state of Missouri, has started to draft a new resolution for the House of Representatives that would allow for expulsion of Republican members of Congress who were attempting to overturn the election. So anyone who signed on to any sort of objection to the Electoral College votes may be expelled from Congress as a result of this resolution.
I would say if her doing that and those saying let's go to guns, that's what we're.
It is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
For our eyes.
Yeah. Extremes.
Yeah. And I think we're starting to see this reality play out today in so many different facets, intellectually through Congress, through realms of legal means, through realms of violence. We clearly are living in two very different societies. One governed by God and governed by reality, and one that's complete anarchy and chaos.
Yeah. That is exactly right. Continue to email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. People are saying that video was horrible. It was horrific. You're right.
It was.
That's the type of sequence I'm trying to avoid, just so we're clear. I hate that. Yeah. That's a disgusting thing. And that was preventable, okay? And it was preventable either by the agitators or whatever. And there are people out there, and that's why I am still of the opinion that this was a leftist infiltration that – influence and infiltrate certain, organizations, and they do this just because they want to see the world burn.
Absolutely. We're starting to see more chaos spin out outside of D.C. as well. I'm seeing reports from the mayor of Denver, Mayor Hancock, that there's about 700 individuals downtown at the state capitol in Colorado. I'm expecting that we'll probably be seeing a lot of that around the country as well today.
Continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank some people that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. It really helps us out a lot. It really does as we do this and as we try to make sense of all this.
Charlie, can I add that?
Yeah, please.
There isn't another organization in America. I mean, I came out here to Phoenix on my own dime to sit with you. There's not another organization in America that is doing what you're doing right now. And the calm and the wisdom and the insights, people are longing for information that they can process. And I want to say thank you. That's why my wife and I support all that you do.
Thank you. I want to thank Tyler from New York. I want to thank Brian from Wisconsin. I want to thank Marcia from Michigan. I want to thank Tamara from California. I want to thank Samantha from Colorado, all for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We're going to keep on doing this. Rob, do you want to close us in prayer? I think
I'd
our nation needs it.
Yeah. Lord, we're thankful that none of this got you by surprise. You're God of order, and here we're watching chaos. But yet, Lord, you're greater than all this. Greater is he who's in us and he who's in the world. And you call us that we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. You're a strong tower. The righteous run into you and they are saved. Lord, I pray that this would cause folks to be shaken to their core, that they would realize that there is a God in heaven and he is a God who rules in the affairs of men. And we are living on his earth. We're drinking his water, breathing his air and eating his food, but we must live by his rules. And so, Lord, please, I pray that this would be a wake-up call for every man and woman to evaluate their lives and say, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on this nation. Awaken me to the wise restraints that make men free, that the laws of nature and nature's God would be applied once again to this constitutional republic, that men and women can live longer than 244 years in the most liberty any nation in the history of the world have ever experienced. But God, we also pray for patience, that folks wouldn't be anxious in anything, but by prayer and supplication like we're doing now and appealing to you, that you would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We do pray for peace. We know that you fashion hands for war, but Lord, that comes. There's a season for everything. But right now, you're calling us to appeal. And Lord, not knock down the barn door, but build it. So God, please, I pray that you would do an amazing work and call an awakening and a revival across the land. And We pray for those who've been affected adversely, those who've been hurt. We pray for protection. And, Lord, we pray for calmer heads to prevail. And so we commit this to you, and we thank you that we have a God to call to, as the founders did. That we can appeal to you, even as the greatest empire on the face of the earth, England, that had just defeated the second greatest empire, France, was coming down on this ragtag group of colonies and was going to decimate them. But yet, when we appeal to you and we're right with you, there's no weapon fashioned against us that will stand. So, Lord, please bring an awakening and a revival across this land. And we ask this in your matchless mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We're going to keep on doing emails, seeing them in at freedom@charliekirk.com. We know there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of things happening out there, and we're on top of it. And one last thing, we are going to give away 5 signed copies of the MAGA Doctrine. If you take out your phone and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, that's all you have to do. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, email it to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're on top of this. And I encourage all of you to keep on expressing that we need to find ways to constitutionally solve our differences. And that's a tragedy. Roberta Paulson died today, and she didn't have to. And more information will come out from that. So thank you guys for supporting us. And if you are watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button and hit that bell. Thank you guys. We'll be back very soon.